can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels' feet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Today.
When the hydrogen bombs are detonating, and you're sitting in your house or office, and all of a sudden the windows all blow out, and then 10 seconds later you see a flash of red coming at you, that's the firewall. And just remember, oh, Alex Jones was right. And that's if you're, you know, on the edge of the blast. You won't feel anything if you're actually in the epicenter of it. And of course, maybe you're out in the middle of Montana or Wyoming. Well, you'll get the nuclear winter and the fallout, and then a few weeks after the nuclear war, here comes the warlords coming to loot your house and rape your wife and kids, and people got their teeth falling out from radiation poisoning, and all these crazy guys stumble out of their vehicles, and it'll be doctors and medics and engineers, and they'll all been gone totally crazy. And you have a whole bunch of 140 IQ psychos that are literally going across the land like army ants, devouring everything in their way. And all the low IQ people will just be dead in a ditch. And then the near of civilization goes bye-bye, and all of a sudden there's all these monsters, all these 140, 150, 160 IQ monsters. The guy that used to manage the golf course, your surgeon, your neighbor who's the army vet. And now all of a sudden, they're hauling you up by a chain to butcher your ass and eat you. And if I wanted to get outside the blast zone, I could go get ready and I could be the leader. I could be a new warlord. I could organize the engineers and scientists and warriors and have a battle plan how we were going to take the resources we needed, get to a redoubt, fortify it with weapons, because there's going to be other warlords coming soon we're going to contend with as we rebuild civilization. It's not that I want to be a warlord, but that's what we're going back to. Are you ready to be a warlord? Are you ready for me to be humongous? Just give us the gas. We spare your lives.
I know how much pain you feel, but wait. Now is not the time. You'll be given your vengeance.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
big Saturday live transmission lined up for you right now. It's 12:03 Central. We're in a debate. The Candace Owens, Great Conspiracy, Charlie Kirk, assassination cover-up debate. It happened yesterday. It's my view she won. Doesn't mean I endorse everything she thinks or says or gets into. But we're going to be laying it all out today. But that's in the second hour. I'm going to be debating Viva Fry, who thinks I'm wrong. And I respect him. We don't have to hate each other over that. Live Saturday show. Israel launches its biggest attacks on Lebanon one day after Trump demands they stop. Trump publicly calls Netanyahu the enemy. Plus, yours truly, Alex Jones, to debate Viva Fry on who won the Candace Owens-Kirk conspiracy debate. Please share the live feed now at alexjoneslive.com and on X, of course, at Real Alex Jones. And don't forget rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. Give me a few seconds to start sharing that at your email list, your text message list. You've got all the power. Use the power. You're not the tail. You're the head. You're the whole wolf. You're the whole war. You're the victory. Release your power now or roll over and die. Done together. Talk about an impossible mission. We have woken the world up to the globalists. They're in deep crap. I've got massive proof today. I can feel all the energy of humanity rising. Share the live feed now, 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 now. We're 168 days into this disastrous Israeli BlackRock planned war. It is 12:05 Central Standard Time. I'm your embattled and battle-hardened host, Alexander Emmerich Jones, coming to you from deep in the heart of Texas, Austin, transmitting in defense of liberty and resistance to tyranny worldwide. All right, ladies and gentlemen, coming up in an hour, Viva Fry. And we're friends, and I like him. He's a lawyer, and I respect him. And he disagreed with me last night when I did a post when I'd finally gotten done with my duties here. At about 5 o'clock, I then watched most of the debate. I skipped through some of it, fast-forwarded through some of it, and where they were just debating just mindless minutia. And I have to say Candace Owens won the debate. That doesn't mean that everything she's looked into and everything she's investigated and some of the stuff she said I agree with, I don't. And she's definitely basically said TPUSA had a major hand in it, and Erica did, and she backed off of that because she knows Lawsuit City's coming. And I just know how things work. I know how the complexities of government operations, and that's a whole other 10 hours of information I've already covered. But they didn't have 12 colonels at Fort Huachuca planning his murder the day before and, you know, all the rest of that stuff. And I was critical of that. But we brought the goods and broke that Cash Patel ordered a cover-up of foreign connections and involvement. I got even more information from Joe Kent when I met with him last weekend and interviewed him up in Dallas. That was all killed by the president. And so when you got that going on, the whole thing now is beyond suspect. It doesn't mean every conspiracy theory about it is true, but Americans have been lied to so much, we've had a loss of confidence in the system. And so people trying to act like we got three heads or, you know, or crazy because of this are just flat wrong. The official story is full of holes like Swiss cheese. But we'll be looking at that coming up. I'll be getting to some of the debate highlights before Viva joins us. But we obviously have the Iran war that Israel brags they drug us into coming to a big head right now with hands down the most massive developments of the last 168 days. This is just unprecedented. And I started, you know, saying this on Monday. I said, this is a real break that Trump's trying to make from Netanyahu because he understands that this war was basically a setup and he understands it's killing him in the polls. And he's decided to go back just to sanctions and the stuff that was working in his first administration and get out of this. And Israel is continuing to bomb Lebanon. Israel's turned the settlers loose in the West Bank and everywhere else just to engage in what the State Department called extreme terrorism. And then in response to that 3 days ago, the settlers went completely ape and have engaged in a whole bunch of new war crimes with the support of the IDF there overseeing it. Attacking folks, hooking back up the electricity to the last Christian town they're destroying. Diverting all water out of Gaza and creating a giant open-air lake swimming pool for the Israelis. And, well, they laugh at them over the wall. We have footage of that. Catapults, firebombing, and just burning Lebanon indiscriminately, Christian areas, you name it. Trump says, stop bombing them 2 days ago. Quote, I order you to. And Israel launches its biggest attack yet ever on Lebanon. Not just of the last few years. Mainstream news, AP, biggest attacks yet. Devastating attacks. They've blown up hundreds of churches, thousands and thousands of homes, and they hit hundreds and hundreds of targets, 400-plus targets yesterday and today. And the last time, Trump, a few months ago, posted on Truth Social, enough's enough, stop bombing Lebanon, stop indiscriminately blowing up whole neighborhoods. And Netanyahu's answer was, I'll do whatever I want. In a speech he gave then, he just did it again, and they just blew the living snot out of Lebanon and then turned the settlers loose just to torch every church they can get their hands on in what is Israel, formerly Palestine, formerly Israel, Judea, whatever you want to call it. Very contested land there. And again, just because we're criticizing Israel doing horrible, bad stuff that's destroyed its name worldwide, doesn't mean that we're for the Islamists or the mullahs. You know, you can be upset and worried about both groups. There's this mindless psychology where you're supposed to pick a side. Now, I'm not with the Democrat Socialist of America and the Red-Green Alliance and the Islamists and Mandami and AOC and Ilhan Omar. And I'm not with Netanyahu primarying members of our Congress and bragging of foreign powers in control and trying to take over our military for the 2027 National Defense Authorization Act that's passed the House now in the Senate. You know, you can have a lot of out-of-control predator groups we're dealing with. It's like people saying, oh, you're talking about China controlling a lot of the Democrats and infiltrating us and having spies everywhere, which is true. You're covering up for Israel, and now you have all these top rabbis that advise Netanyahu saying, no, we're giving all the secrets we get to China. They're the enemy. The West is the new Rome. We're going to destroy America, destroy Europe. And China is our ally, which is known. And India is Israel's ally. And they say our number one enemy is the West because Titus, under the orders of Emperor Pompeo, sacked Rome. Rome sacked Jerusalem in 70 AD. And I've got hundreds of top rabbis saying, including Netanyahu's rabbi that I played yesterday. So for people criticizing me saying, well, you're just cherry-picking rabbis, I talked to Harrison because he's the guy that put out 8-Front War documentary that went super viral, tens of millions of views. I mean, we're talking like 100 million views. Just one version has like 24 million views. And I've seen a bunch of versions over 10 million views. I said, listen, you're going to make 8-Front War 2.0. I don't sit there and tell my host what to do except every once in a while. And I'm like, that's your project. I asked him to do it. He was already aware of it. And now everybody's becoming aware of it. But that was almost a year ago. I said, I want 8-Front War 2.0. So he called me this morning. He said, boss, I've been working on it for months. He goes, there's so much. And I said, well, you got to at some point cut it off. And he's like, well, there's like 500 rabbis I've got. And I said, then make it 2 hours long. Just have it rabbi after rabbi. We're going to kill you. We're going to destroy you. We hate America. We're going to blow you up. And China's going to nuke you and destroy you, and you deserve to go to hell. I think the Christian Zionists need to see this. Now, again, I want to be clear. I've done deep study of this, and there's no way to quantify it exactly, but I'd say about a third of the rabbis have this idea that we have to be destroyed because we're the new Rome, and that's what their prophets said that came after the Old Testament. And it's just an excuse to engage in evil activity. The majority of the rabbis do not believe this and say this. It doesn't matter. This school of rabbis that the media calls right-wing, I don't even see how that is applicable, but right-wing rabbis are the ones in charge of Israel right now, and they're the ones running the agenda. So it doesn't matter if two-thirds of the rabbis don't agree with that and love America and love the West and say nice things and, you know, the rest of it. The group in charge, it's like, you know, in Germany, a lot of Germans didn't like Hitler, but he was in charge. And if you actually compare how Israel behaves to its neighbors and other people and its statements about genocide and Amalek and we're going to get rid of all of you, and they openly say, you know, that we're ordered to destroy Rome, and the West is Rome, This is what they're saying, and you can't get away from this. You can't get away with every few days the last few villages of Christians, whether it's in the West Bank, whether it's in Bethlehem, whether it's in Gaza, are being targeted directly. And so that's the first big tranche of news that I'm going to hit, because it's a big deal. Now, let's put the live show headline up again. It's pretty powerful. Trump has come out and said that Netanyahu is the enemy. Now, what he said specifically is he's his own worst enemy, but because he's drug us into all these policies that are destroying America and the dollar and getting all these people killed and destroying our name around the world and causing mass inflation, the true statement is, if Netanyahu's an enemy of his himself, meaning Israel, and U.S. interests as well, he is the enemy. Anybody that's ever had a grandparent or something get dementia, totally nice, wonderful, good person, and suddenly you're dealing with a demented nutcase, they are their own worst enemy, and they're also an enemy of your tranquility and safety. And so that's what this is. What did the Defense Intelligence Agency a couple months ago say, one day after the NDAA 2027 passed out of committee, and Netanyahu sent a letter to the committee saying, thanks for putting what I wrote, Section 224, now Section 219, in the bill. I wrote the bill to turn over our military to Israel. And I said, Israel is now the number one national security threat to the United States. China was. It's a close second still. But it's now Israel. And I said, if the military and the Pentagon was doing its job, they would call out Israel's number one threat to our national security and sovereignty. The next day, and I played these clips, they came out with a defense intelligence report. But they weren't doing that because I said that. We were just simpatico. Turned out that report had been delivered to Trump 7 days before, and that no change was made. So the Defense Intelligence Agency, our military, leaked it to the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times. So that's where we are. You know, whenever we criticize Israel dragging us into these wars, being out of control and trying to control our foreign and domestic policy and having great success at it, they'll cherry pick a Tucker Carlson or Alex Jones and just say, oh, they're Hitler, they hate Jews, blah, blah, blah. When the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Cain, came out 5 days before the war and said, don't do this, that just got ignored. When the Pentagon assessment said don't do it, and since then they've issued three more assessments saying the Moodles aren't going to fall, they're going to keep the Strait closed, this is a disaster, do an off-ramp, use sanctions, declare victory, which they're now trying to do. Trump's finally listening. The media ignores that. They make it about, oh, Alex Jones, you know, the guy, the crazy man, he's just saying this. No, it's the consensus of the Pentagon. And when I interviewed Joe Kent last weekend, he made that point without me even bringing it up. He said, you know, he also said in the debate that hasn't aired yet, he said, you know, everybody keeps acting like this is my opinion. And the other side demonizes me and attacks me, but, you know, you say I'm really smart. He goes, I'm not really that smart, which, of course, anybody that is smart says that. Socrates, I know that I know nothing. He said, this is the known assessment that's been massively wargamed and now proven right. It's not just like the Pentagon's super accurate at making predictions. You've now seen the prediction come true. You don't need to sit there and wonder if the Pentagon assessment was right. Like I said 168 days ago on that Saturday show, a few hours into the war, I said, here's what's going to happen. And I said, I don't just believe a Pentagon assessment. I'm on the ball. I've studied this. This is damn accurate. And we got the declassified version. Kent said, I can't tell you about the classified version. But does Kent get invited back to the White House and thanked and Trump begging him to come back? No. Kent resigned 2 weeks in to say, this will be a disaster. I'm doing this to bring attention. Thanks for letting me serve. I still appreciate you, but I can't sit here and watch you commit the country and yourself to total disaster. And for that, a bunch of Never Trumpers call him a traitor. I just want to point out to everybody that said we were wrong and we're kooks and we're Qatari agents and all the rest of this. You guys are the ones that are discredited. Qatar funded Hamas. Qatar spends $4 billion a year mainly on universities and brainwashing here in the U.S. But Qatar also gave Trump a $300 million airplane that they upgraded with another $700 million to be the new Air Force One. I'm not saying Trump's even bad doing that. My point is, I ain't even talking to any Qataris. Never been there. Know all about it, read about it, study it. But to just say I'm a Qatari agent when I had nothing to do with Qatar, and you got Netanyahu with them secretly for years giving hundreds of millions of dollars, hell, billions overall, to them, you look at me and say I'm connected with no proof, and then you got Israel funding al-Qaeda to take over Syria, and then Netanyahu is constantly running his mouth about if you don't fight for us, you're for Muslim extremists, when Israel's funding every damn Muslim extremist group under the sun, except Hezbollah, and that's the Iranian group. So that's just the reality of Lindsey Graham would call everybody that was against these wars Muslim sympathizers, and then he, it turned out, was the biggest bag man at USAID and State Department, getting billions of dollars to Islamic extremists for decades. I mean, it's just like, it's crazy. They're on record, the paymasters of ISIS and al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood. Obama turned the Muslim Brotherhood loose, gave them billions to overthrow our ally, Egypt, and blew up hundreds of churches and killed tens of thousands of Coptic Christians and all the rest of it. And then we got to sit here when we're exposing this and told we're Muslim operatives? Really? I'm one of the most famous Islamophobes there is. Because, you know, I also don't like black widows. You have a phobia for a reason. It's called a good instinct. I'm standing at the edge of a cliff. I get butterflies and, you know, pull back. I don't have any irrational fears. I'm not scared of open, wide places. I'm not, you know, people, a lot of people that have irrational fears. No, I mean, I have real instincts. Like, I like sitting at a campfire looking at the pretty flames. It's God's television, but that he gave us, but I don't want to stick my hand in it. I'm scared of white hot coals. So just let it sink in that the never Trumpers that are on the payroll of Israel, that is paymastering all these Islamic groups so they can destabilize things, so Israel has an excuse to then have the terrorists they fund pull back so they can blow up the country and take it, parts of Lebanon, parts of Syria, you name it, Gaza, West Bank, you name it. It's a very sophisticated game. But Israel's declassified. They founded Hamas. So there wouldn't be, imagine they had Mahatma Gandhi's in Gaza. It'd be all beautiful hotels and swimming pools and like a Cancun resort right now. And Israel said, we're not doing that. We're funding radical scum to control you, to be in charge. And then we're going to knock them down later. And 40-something years later, they just knocked them down. Doesn't mean they run Hamas. They wind it up. That is key to understand how this works. So thank you for joining us on this live Saturday transmission. It is 12:21 Central. Next hour, we're going to do part two of the Candace Owens Charlie Kirk conspiracy debate. That's really what it was, and I think she won the debate. I think most people agree with that I've seen, but it doesn't mean I endorse everything she's saying. I want to be clear about that. I'm saying if you watch the debate just technically and what happened, she had some incredible gotcha moments, and it didn't go well for the other side. And the fellow she was debating, I've publicly invited him to come on the show to debate me. I debated him. He was on the neocon panel last Saturday. I was on the side with Joe Kent. That was Brandon Strzok. Put that out. It'll be out in a week or so, I'm told. Mega viral, probably. No doubt. But I want to get it going now. I want to get it on. He can come right here. We can go in our interview studio. We can do 5 hours commercial free if he wants. Lincoln Douglas debate, no rules. Because I'm not going to debate the debate he says I'm having about this. I don't know exactly what happened. I just know the official story isn't true, so everybody has a right to not believe whatever we're being told, and I'll get to that coming up. But they try to frame the debate as something different that I think everything Candace Owens does about Egyptian planes and Fort Huachuca. Nope. That's not what I think. I know why this is officially bullshit. But does it mean that I know exactly what happened? I just know what we're being told ain't true. So, let's now plow into the technicals of what's happening in Israel right now. And that has drug us into this war. Midnight Hammer was designed to get us into the full war. Charlie Kirk called and thanked me for exposing that, just to show what a great guy he was. But the reason I mention that is they say he wasn't critical of Israel. He was publicly critical of Israel. And he called and thanked me for trying to stop the war and saying, you're damn right, Midnight Hammer's trying to get us into full war. And then sure enough, now you see where it is, and Netanyahu now admits that was the plan. But back at the time, they're like, no, it's limited strike. Shut up, Jones. Stop saying it's about to go to full war. This is not, because they wanted to get to that and didn't want us to speak out against it and stop it. They want us to sleepwalk into this. So let's look at these headlines and get to the videos. Look at these headlines. Iran defiant on straight as Trump tells Americans to accept high gas prices. So he's trying to get them to do a deal. They control the strait. They close it and say no deal. So he closes it. It's already closed. And says, I'm in control. It's now the Strait of America. And it's all just talk. And that's just the reality. Oh, we got a deal 50-something times. Oh, now it's not a deal. Now I'm going to obliterate them. Now I'm not. Now the strait's open. Now it's not. Oh, it's really secretly open. The ships are getting through, Fox News said, but oil prices and gas prices are exploding and the strategic reserve has basically been completely drained. So, see, that's not true. That's gaslighting. Strait of America. Trump says he'll declare Hormuz Strait U.S. territory after Iran defeated. And he made these new, incredibly tone-deaf, disconnected, callous statements. Oh, the sailors have been out there for 200-plus days, and it's rotting food, and they're committing suicide. And he goes, has this war gone on too long? He goes, no, the war hasn't gone long enough. I thought you wanted to get it over with. I thought it wasn't a war. Thought you had already won a bunch of times. So which Trump am I supposed to believe? And then he also came out, we'll show you the clip, and said, hey, the gas prices is not hurting you a little bit of money. No, diesel up at almost six, and farmers can't buy it. And we're going to have food shortages and huge food price increases already happening, and a third of the fertilizer cut off the strait, and a third of the gas and oil, and Africa's had half of its fertilizer cut off because it's half of it from the strait, and then they're now going to have huge migrant surges, and all the rest of it is now happening, and Trump's just saying everything's fine, everything's great, everything's wonderful. But in reality, he is trying to get the off-ramp. But Iran's not letting you get out of it now. They want reparations. They want to officially be recognized to control the strait and put a toll on it. And Trump's not going to do that because Iran is asking, I think, for too much of being belligerent because they think they hold the cards. So they're going to press this in the danger that Trump may swing back to a ground invasion and nuking them, which has been on the table. So Iran's playing with fire, too. This is a real gamble for everybody. That's why we shouldn't have done it. The Pentagon called it a gamble with very low probability of the outcome you want, Mr. President. Well, roll the dice. You might want to go spend your discretionary money at Las Vegas if you're not a degenerate gambler, but you certainly don't roll the dice for the whole world on it. Trump shrugs off concerns about conditions on USS Abraham Lincoln, says deployment has not been nearly long enough. Says everything's sarcastic, everything's a big joke. The buck stops nowhere else. A look at Trump's tendency to avoid blame when things go awry. Oh, he definitely does that. Then it continues. Hegseth, ship of horrors. Hope I don't wake up tomorrow. New York Times, supply problems after Iran base hit. The main food supply base in Bahrain was almost completely destroyed. We've evacuated all these dozens of bases. But the war hawks say, hey, we don't need logistics. And they're like, well, we've got maximum 5,000 Marines and 10,000 airborne. That's not enough to take the Strait of Hormuz. And Lindsey Graham just said, I believe in our Marines. Okay, well, the big ships can't come in to even land them because of all their artillery and missiles that they haven't even used, the up-close stuff. And they go, I believe in our Marines. You get our Marines here, boy. One of our Marines could take Iwo Jima. Took 110,000 in World War II. Shut up, Qatari agent. How many times did I tell you they're going to set up Iran with surface air missile assassination plot and Israel's going to do it and kill Trump? Now we learned years after I said this would first become a big issue that it was a surface-to-air missile threat when he got on the food truck and went on another Air Force plane that they've now turned into a big fiasco. It was Israel told him that, and I said specifically it'll be Israel that shoots him down years ago and says Iran did it. And then when Israel tells him that, he'll then say, if I ever get killed, it's Iran's fault. So that sets Israel up to kill Trump, get rid of him so they can control things more here domestically, because sometimes he challenges them. And then they can use that to get the war expanded. And then, wow, what a weird thing to say back the day after he got shot in Butler when I started hammering that. And then they, over the years, created the exact narrative I said. And now, oh, what broke today? The Pentagon says, and the CIA says, it's a false assessment. It wasn't true. But Israel told Trump they're there with surface-to-air missiles to shoot down your plane. Trump plane switch, specific threat was from shoulder-fired surface-to-air missile. That's at alexjoneslive.com with links to the CIA, the Pentagon, all the reports about it being a surface-to-air missile, according to the New York Times. And it goes on into that. So that's what Israel told them. What a weird thing people said back after Butler. And even before that, a few months before Butler, I said they're going to say Iran killed him with a surface-to-air missile. I did that then, too. In fact, we have an obnoxious promo piece. We looked today and couldn't find the raw footage of me saying it, which is okay, but we did find a little joke promo that some of the crew made, because you notice they make jokes about me getting mad at them behind the scenes. They're great, and they've got good humor. But when I do get a little OCD, it's like the Darth Vader pieces about, where's clip 50? All I want is clip 50, and then I start destroying everything. So, I'm not mad at the crew. Well, let's find that and play that next. But here's one that Dan, one of our great researchers and editors, put together. And this has clips before Butler. So in his promo, he already had a promo about surface-to-air missiles and my obsession with it. Now they're going to try to kill Trump with surface-to-air missiles, so he needs missile defense. When he was on Trump Force One before he had that, he did a few months later actually get Air Force support with anti-missile defense planes that followed him. What a weird thing I was bringing up then when nobody else was. That's tomorrow, since today. And then after Butler, I got even more specific and said that Israel will be behind it and will shoot him down. So have the archivists find that. I said it like a day after and 2 days after, and then I've said it hundreds of times since then. So most of you watching are like, yeah, we've heard you 100 times. But see how my brain works? I'm just trying to get you into the level mindset. I don't mean like I'm super cool or anything. I understand how all this stuff operates. And we're at more danger than ever of Israel killing him now. They may set off a nuke, do a big cyber attack and blame Iran, maybe both or all, or just kill Trump, and then the default is blow up Iran, and they get rid of Trump, who does a lot of what they say, but still gets in fights with them. And they don't like that. So they could use him to get everything they want and get all this public opinion against him shifted over. So I'm warning of an Israeli assassination, a Netanyahu assassination of Trump. And I know there's smart people around Trump that actually agree with my analysis. Like, for people that don't know, viewers and listeners, I'm kind of known for tomorrow's news today. I'm kind of known by the Defense Department and the CIA as being a super good analyst. And also they want to control me, so that's why I got job offers from them repeatedly. But I didn't take it. But I've been asked to come in and be one of their big brain people. Well, you can watch the show, guys, and get the big brain things right here. But this stuff, to me, is not even hard to figure out. Yeah, there's another one somebody found. Alex Jones Classics is a fan site. Today in Alex Jones History on this day, 2022, at Real Alex Jones discussed assassination threats against Trump and disputed reports blaming Iranians around Mar-a-Lago. Oh, yeah, they even did that, too. That's not even the old stuff. 3 months before they tried to kill Trump and Butler, I said they're going to do it, and they're going to claim it's an Iranian. I said they're going to try to shoot him at a public event and say Iranians did it. They're going to try to shoot down his plane with surface-to-air missiles and say Iranians did it. They're also going to try to smuggle it in on through a reporter's bag and say Iranians did it. And then right after Butler, I went through it all. I mean, you've all heard it. I'm going to stop and move on here because I have a lot of the settler violence and insane stuff we haven't gotten to yet, and a bunch of clips of Trump saying and doing what I said he did. I want to show you, not just say he did it. You know, it's all over the news. They're saying, don't worry about gas prices. And, yeah, the ship hadn't been out there long enough. The war doesn't go long enough. And contradicting himself. I mean, you know he said it, but we're going to play it. We're going to play it because he said it. But let's play this, just the surface-to-air missile rant. This is months before Butler, if memory serves. I know I said it before Butler, and then after. And what a weird, you're like, what is he doing? Iranians, missiles, blame them? Long before these wars? Because I can see how the enemy operates. I can see the pre-programming. There's all these data points when I try to go, how do I know this? I can sit back for like an hour and go, this, that. Oh, yeah. And I have to like reassess, because the subconscious mind is hundreds of times more powerful than the cerebral cortex is a narrow focus on your brain. I'm able to just go and then like and then get the answer. Then I have to pull back if I want to analyze how I know that, and I can always track it back to how I know it. But you have that power too when you train yourself to have enough data and learn what real data is real and historical analysis and background groups on certain organizations and what their modus operandi are and all these thousands of integration points and the thousands of other integration points, and then you can come up with this. Just want you to understand how we know this, okay? When I say me, it's me and all my ancestors, because I can access their memories. All right, so can you, but if you really start doing it, it gets a lot more fun. Okay, so let's go ahead now and go to the surface-to-air missile clip. And then you could, this is a joke video the crew made out of me getting mad that they played the wrong thing. That was a separate thing about the bomb on the plane. And then play another one of the crew's jokes. We deserve a little humor here about Darth Vader not mad at the crew. Here it is. So I'm not trying to get into a bunch of metaphysical stuff here, but...
All right, well, let's stop right here. It's no big deal. I talk fast. This morning I said, 2 hours ago, I said, hey, get me the clip of where I say Iran's going to use surface-to-air missiles, but it's not going to be Iran. They're going to blame Iran for surface-to-air missiles. The main threat is a surface-to-air missile. Yes, I also said they put a bomb on the plane. But a bomb on the plane is not a surface-to-air missile. So I want the archivist to find, I said it like 500 times, it won't be hard, surface-to-air missile, and when we put this as an archive to X, later today, the full show, I want that added in there, and we'll cut me explaining it out here. But I'm going to say it because it got missed. Surface-to-air missile, 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 surface-to-air missile. I want the clip of me talking about surface-to-air missile and Trump needs anti-missile defense systems. Surface-to-air missile, 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 surface-to-air missile. I want the clip of me talking about surface-to-air missile and Trump needs anti-missile defense systems. Surface-to-air missile, 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 surface-to-air missile. I want the clip of me talking about surface-to-air missile and Trump needs anti-missile defense systems.
Shut up! Shut the... Shut up! Will you shut up? Shut up! Shut up! Shut up!
Infowars.com.
Finishing up now with Israel, because I don't want to just tell you this stuff, I want to show it. Here is Trump saying, oh, I'm not, you know, worried about the ship being out there for 200 plus days and rotten food. You know, this war hasn't gone on quite long enough. Well, I thought you wanted to end it, but now they admit it's a siege mode. Smotrich, the Israeli finance minister, says that's what this is about regime change. Well, that hurts everybody else, too, with the strait being closed. And Trump told people last night, he said, we'll play that clip. He's like, yeah, you should have a little pain, a little increase in gas. How about gas is up 40-something percent? How about diesel 60, 70%? And that feeds in every other layer of the economy. We're on the verge of collapse. We knew that. We needed your recovery to work. So this is like his, some of his high-level staff members saying, you know, don't bitch about $20 burritos. And just this let them eat cake thing where he said, I don't even worry about the average American's financial problems. I worry about the war. Even if he believes that, which is Marie Antoinette level let them eat cake, why is he saying it? Now, he's also broken with Israel big time, calling Netanyahu basically the enemy. We'll get to that next and then get into the Charlie Kirk aftermath debate here in just a moment. But these are more callous remarks that are, I think, really not good. Here they are.
Okay, what else do I have to say? Well, no, that ship is moving. No, they're not. That ship is moving right now, or very shortly, and it's being replaced with another very similar ship. No, no, no. Not nearly long enough. Thank you, everybody. So I just say this. So for you to pay a tiny little bit more for your gasoline, just remember, you're doing it so that a very evil country cannot have a country. Really, it's the number one state sponsor of terror in the world. We don't want to have them have a nuclear weapon. So remember that when you have to pay a little bit more, you're at $4. It's okay. I mean, it's I'll never apologize. I did the right thing. But you could, you know, if you didn't have, you'd be.
And now we got to get the strait open. That's the main point of the war that was open before the war. And Iran's refusing to open it, so Trump just says he's closed it, and it's now the Strait of America. Now, look, Navy carriers' problems are tied to attacks on U.S. base early in the war that was obliterated in Bahrain. Most of the bases got heavily damaged and evacuated. So this is about logistics. But, oh, Lindsey Graham wanted a ground invasion. The Pentagon said there's not the logistics to do any of this. Okay? So continuing, Trump's callous response to U.S. sailors throw themselves overboard in Iran. ran war, our grim photos of food emerged. Nightmare slop. But it's a lot worse than that. Now, shifting gears to what's really big news here, and that is what Israel's up to. Look at this. Trump said to call Netanyahu his own worst enemy as PM vies for election endorsement. Trump refused to endorse him, so that war's heating up. And less than 48 hours after Trump said stop hitting Lebanon and pull out, now Israel says they want part of Lebanon and Syria, Israel launches its biggest attacks yet on Lebanon, just carpet bombing indiscriminately Christian, Muslim, Shiite, Sunni, you name it. And then Israel even admits they're deliberately starting wildfires in southern Lebanon, indiscriminately using catapults loaded with napalm. How about getting medieval just to burn the whole place down? That is a war crime. And we've got footage of that we'll get to in a moment. Then we've got settlers attack municipal crews trying to fix electrical lines into besieged Christian homes in the West Bank that even the U.S. ambassador from Israel, Mike Huckabee, he's not the U.S. ambassador to Israel, called horrific acts of terrorism. So that's the heat getting turned up as this split intensifies, which is good. We shouldn't have Israel running our foreign policy. Reuters, we have video of this. Israel settlers divert Palestinian water completely to fill West Bank pool, not for the people in the West Bank, but for the Israelis. So they're like bathing in water while people literally go thirsty. This is absolutely insane, and the optics are horrible. Remember the U.S. ambassador to Israel, Huckabee says Israel settlers are terrorists who committed horrific terrorist acts. That's a big deal to have that rhetoric coming out. It shows that Trump realizes how serious the situation is going. So let's play a clip with audio of the catapult and then of the new swimming pool that the Israelis have created with the people's water they need. Just absolutely flagrant. Here it is. Talk about precision-guided munitions. Just burn down all the forest. Burn everything
Israeli
down.
Israeli settler Yishai Schreiber enjoys a pool filled with fresh water diverted from Palestinian land.
They're afraid, terrified to death, right? Any Arab family that came here would simply run away.
The spring was a lifeline for the nearby village of Fasail in the Israeli-occupied West Bank. But in June, settlers cut off the Palestinians' irrigation pipes and siphoned the water for their own use, including filling this ancient pool. Settlers soon advertised it as an Israeli tourist attraction. "Welcome to Herod's Pools," the sign reads, bearing the logo of the party of Israeli far-right minister and settler Bezalel Smotrich, who pledged financial support for the development. There are no Palestinians here, only Israeli families.
When you show them what the truth is, meaning you show who is strong, who is really the owner of the house, then they will simply flee.
Nearby, Saad Nemer's crops are dried out. His greenhouses would usually be full of eggplant, zucchini, and watermelon. "We haven't had a drop of water for the past 3 months," the Palestinian farmer says, and many families in Fasail will lose their livelihoods. Nemer said settlers had threatened him and beaten up an employee for attempting to approach the spring as far back as 2 years ago. He showed Reuters land ownership documents, including one from Israel's Kogat military agency, proving both the spring and the pools were on his land.
"We cannot go fix it or do any maintenance work since two settlers arrived there and prevented us."
Neither Kogat nor Smotrich responded to requests for comment. Israel's far-right government has backed a massive expansion of settlements across the West Bank, where settler attacks on Palestinians and seizure of their resources have risen sharply. Since the start of this year alone, at least 160 sites related to water and sanitation came under settler attack, according to UN data. Palestinian activist Faris Fokaha estimates that settlers have seized control of 95% of springs in the northern Jordan Valley, displacing communities. "It's heartbreaking," he says. While Adil Yassin of the Palestinian Water Authority called it part of a water war to force Palestinians off the land,
It harms the Palestinian side more than shooting at them. A bullet kills one person, but cutting off a water source kills a community.
These natural springs are some of the last still accessible to Palestinians. They're near the city of Nablus, and in the past rarely faced settler raids. But hundreds descended this summer to sit at the tables and wade through the pools. Nizam Faris owns the park.
People have become scared and jumpy. They come and ask if the settlers have come or not. We don't see peace and tranquility. We see things going from bad to worse.
So it's wrong to do that to the Palestinians, but you understand there's Christians there too who have had all churches have been blown up. There's none left. They've cut off the electricity. They drive through like road warrior and firebomb them at night. And finally, Huckabee has called it horrific terrorism. And you notice who's running it. It's Smotrich, who said this war is ideal. America's fighting our enemy. And this is going to bankrupt Iran, and we don't care about everybody else because the U.S. is the modern Rome, and that we'll get them next. And I already played clips of that yesterday. I mean, these are not nice people running Israel, okay? This is really, really evil. All right, Viva Fry, I apologize. We had technical issues. I'm going to play these two short clips, then come back to you, and we're going to have this discussion, you know, debate. You said last night that you thought I was wrong saying she won. I respect that view. We don't hate each other. We like each other. It's okay to have debates when something's open like this. I think you've always been very friendly to everybody you disagree with, and so am I. I don't think everybody should hate each other when we disagree. There's real perspectives on both sides. We'll talk about it when we come back. But here is a clip where I think that the man she was debating really, really, really lost the debate. And I debated this fella, Andrew Wilson, when I was up in Dallas last Saturday. It's going to be airing soon. Brandon Strock's putting it out. And he used a lot of just kind of facial mannerisms and acting like he was winning points. And they say he's this like top debater in the known universe. I wouldn't say he's a terrible debater. And I've seen him win debates where I think he has the topic correctly, where he's on the side of right. And I think he made some good points against her as well. But we also have a little video showing Candace where she's flip-flopped some. And so there's become an orthodoxy where you're supposed to support anything she says and does or any theory she looks at, even though they're contradictory. And then I get demonized as a Mossad operative when I pointed out things that clearly aren't true and clearly aren't right. It's like, I like Candace, but she's seen by her followers as like the word of God. And so that's where I've had some issues as well. But I think overall she won the debate. So here's where he doesn't know the charges. She does. Then he accuses her of secretly being given the information when clearly on the film she doesn't have a phone in her hand. It's down, in a purse or on a side. And that really double got him. It was a lot of things like that. That just optically, if you have to say who won it just from the way it came off, not even so much the issues, it was this. And then we'll go to something that I think points out fair points where she has been extremely flip-flopper because she's basically said, that TPSA killed him and the rest of it. Now she's like, oh, no, I never really said that. Come on, you did say that, okay? You know anything about crowds and killers and conspiracies and stuff? You're not going to have a bunch of people in the group that have been called out all together on this. That's just not how this works. And the Israelis are supposedly involved. They're going to get this whole group involved that don't have any history, past, or operation. And they try to create these histories with Erica Kirk and stuff. So people say, well, which side are you on? I'm on the side of truth going through this. And so I don't dislike Candace. I don't dislike TPUSA. I'm just, everybody's into this and loss of faith in the systems. And I'm analyzing it and giving you my take. You don't have to agree with me. Doesn't mean I have all the answers either. So here's these clips and we'll go right to Viva Fry. Stay with us.
The question.
It seems pretty like if you're going to engage and you're going to say the evidence is overwhelming mm-hmm. that Tyler Robinson is guilty, I just think that you should. Like, right. Can you tell me one?
Then let's do the counter. You can really. Yeah, no, this is a great gotcha.
No. You just got to ask me, play clips out of context, put me in the hot seat. Mm-hmm. So please just answer the
this
question.
This is fair. Since you've been following the case.
Okay, sure. You name one.
Yeah, you named all seven.
I'm happy to do that. But can you name one?
I think he's been charged with murder.
That's actually incorrect.
Okay, great. Now name all seven.
He doesn't even. This is like
name all seven.
And I
can you
I
name all seven?
I can.
Then do it.
Sure, you don't have to
do it. No, do it. I'll count them. Go ahead.
You don't name have to put your fingers up.
Okay, hang on.
That.
Name them.
Yeah, sure.
Name them.
The first charge is aggravated murder because that's what carries a death sentence in the state of Utah. That is literally not murder.
Okay.
And so just for people, I don't have to do it in a time limit. There's nothing going on. And just to explain to people the difference of why that really matters and shows that he doesn't actually care about this at all is because aggravated murder, it's narrowly defined, and because it carries a death sentence. I'm going to answer the question.
Okay,
you're just going to recognize that your strategy of thinking that people are intimidated when you try to put a time constraint doesn't work, and you'll be better the next time you debate someone.
I got it. Give me the other ones.
The more you cut me off, the longer I'll take. Do you want to just wait for me to finish of why that's a big difference so that people don't walk away?
No, I just want you to list the charges.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. You just don't get to pretend that there's a time constraint for me to do that.
Well, how long does it take you to list 7 charges?
Because I'm speaking. You just got to.
It sounds like you're just delaying it because you don't know them.
I know all 7 of them.
Then
and I'm going to say again, because like, you're going to get embarrassed. You don't have to rush this. I'm also showing an example of a very flawed debate strategy. I am under no time constraint.
I got one.
Great. The second charge is the felony discharge of a weapon. The next two charges are for obstruction of justice.
Okay.
The next two charges are for witness tampering. And the final.
What's the specific charges, though?
That is them. Obstruction of justice,
both
obstruction
of
justice, witness tampering.
Okay. And there's no other specifics to them.
Well, I can tell you why he's being charged.
No. Just the charges and then 7?
Yeah. See, the bad thing is when you try to be an a-hole and it doesn't work.
What's the 7th?
The last charge is violence in front of a minor.
Okay. Got it. So then he's being charged with murder. You just say aggravated murder. That's the distinction. You just want to.
It's a massive.
It's massive. One's premeditated, one's not.
Say murder versus aggravated.
One's a death penalty, one's not.
This gets to the entire crux of why him being up for the death sentence. And I actually find the defense's filing about why this is not aggravated to be very compelling of why it's not aggravated murder. I actually think if the state was going to even try to pull this off, they should have charged him with just murder. And then I do. Also, again, want to stress to audiences that debate strategy, it's some sport. I think he thinks it's a blood sport. It's not. It's about being right and being principled when you're engaging. And you can make mistakes. I make mistakes all the time. But at least be genuine in pretending that you care about this case enough to know one of the 7 charges that are up against Tyler Robinson when you say the evidence is overwhelming that he's guilty. If you would like to move to final statements, I'm fine. I want to make sure Andrew has had the time that he has requested.
I think your team would like to pull up the 7 charges that he just asked you about. If you guys want to pull that up just to confirm the 7 you went through. Can you guys zoom in a little bit?
Aggravated murder, felony discharge of a firearm. Obstruction of justice, which is counts 3, 4, 5, and 6, tampering with a witness, and count 7,
violent
offense. I said offense in the presence of
in
a minor.
Front of a child.
Yeah.
So 5, 6, tampering witness, 3rd degree felony. Now, I did notice something I just was curious about. If I'm just wondering. When you pulled out your phone just before you asked that question, did somebody by chance text you that question?
You can check my phone.
I'm just curious.
No, you can absolutely not. I have not had one communication with a single person, not even my producers who are in there this whole time we were here. You want to check my phone? I'm happy to do it because you're just going to get double embarrassed. Where's my phone?
You want to see it?
I'm just curious. Yeah.
You can literally do that. Here you go. PBD, you're the moderator. Take it.
Let's see.
See if anyone was texted at all during this debate.
All right.
About the violent charges or anything.
I'm looking through this. You give me permission.
You
so
have
looking
full
at,
permission to go
names.
Through my phone. I don't need to cheat.
So the last one has nothing to do with it. It's just a compliment.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't even read my text messages.
That's
so
a compliment.
He's reading them.
You're okay. You'll give me permission.
Yes.
I'm just going to read 3 of them. See 1132 because after that, I don't need to read it.
Any other text? Could have been Telegram. Could have been something.
All
like
I have is Signal. You can check that too. I only have Signal. Telegram I used in Russia. Okay. And that was it. I downloaded it for
Russia.
I'll
take your word for it.
Yeah. I deeply care about this case. I don't need to pretend to know stuff that I don't know.
If you deeply care about the case, I just, you know, I have, my other question is about the steakhouse receipt.
She has said Charlie's murder, quote, had to be approved by Charlie's friends, and then suggested those friends might have her murdered too for, quote, knowing the truth.
I never said that. Obviously, in the context that he put it in, we're going to need to hear the full sentence because you're trying to context it in a way that is just untrue.
I just want to know why, Charlie. I want to know why the decision was made to murder Charlie Kirk, a decision that very clearly had to be approved by Charlie's friends. That's all I have. I want to know why. I think we deserve to know why. And instead, we're going to be sued. I guess, is this going to be the pathway forward? You're going to start murdering more people? in broad daylight for knowing? Is that our consequence? Is that like the slave consequence? Is that like, you know, catching a slave and cutting off their limbs? People have watched the show. They know exactly what I've said. And I tend to stand by what I've said. And I do stand by everything that I've said. No one, and I mean absolutely no one, outside of my husband and Erica Kirk, has the power to shut me up. There's nobody that has the capacity to get me to shut up about this except for Erica Kirk and my husband. I'm not going to stop unless Erica Kirk asks me to stop. If Erica Kirk asks me to be quiet, I will be quiet.
Stop. To stop.
I just do not accept any of that. I was in this aggrieved stage and I really didn't poke my head up until weeks later. When I could stop crying about it every second. Charlie Kirk, my friend, is dead. First, this is fantastic that Preborn is doing this. I want to remind you guys about Pure Talk. Also remind you guys about American Financing. Also remind you guys about GNO Land. Also telling you guys about Just Thrive. You can head over to our website, CandiceOwens.com. You can sign up, buy yourself a hat. I was totally in a cloud of grief. Okay. You remember I had to go away to Wyoming just to breathe. Like, what am I doing wrong here that I have to go away and cry for a long time and everyone else just kind of seemed giddy. That's the only way I can describe it. Like giddy. But that emotion shouldn't be possible. Shouldn't be possible, actually. I certainly didn't suspect Turning Point USA would be, as I believe, involved in a cover up. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean they weren't involved in plotting to kill him. And I've never said that. Cam Higby is on the payroll of Turning Point USA, the very organization that just had its leader assassinated in broad daylight in front of the entire world. Obviously, for this to have been pulled off, there had to have been multiple people involved. There had to have been people at Turning Point that were complicit in having this happen.
You said my show, people at Turning Point were complicit in his murder.
No, my exact sentence that I said was that there were people at Turning Point who are engaged in a cover-up.
No, you didn't.
I believe that thoroughly.
Candice, you didn't say that.
There had to have been people at Turning Point that were complicit in having this happen.
You said there were people at Turning Point complicit in his murder.
Okay.
That's what you said.
She has accused us of lying about Charlie wanting Erica to take over for him if he died.
Never happened. In the event of his untimely death, like, you know, he just, in the third notebook, he was like, oh, and if I accidentally get shot on campus, here's what you should do. Call Erica. And then after you call Erica, come find this notebook. And if during this process of our imagination, common sense comes on and we're like, oh, but wait, Charlie, wasn't he like a boy genius? He's a pretty bright kid. Wouldn't he have maybe formalized that succession plan outside of like a diary? Never happened. And thinking that a shot went off from here, if that was just maybe like decoy number two, and actually Charlie was shot from beneath him, which then could maybe explain why there was no exit wound. Maybe everyone's looking up when we should be looking below, right? Maybe we should be looking below. People are doing very, what I would say, credible videos. People that certainly have the credibility are ballistics experts that are saying that what we see in the front is an exit wound, not an entry wound theory that is being floated that Charlie was shot from the back. And I'm telling you this 100%. Charlie Kirk was shot from the front. And at least a fragment of the bullet was recovered from his neck. What I can state rather unequivocally is that there is now more evidence, more evidentiary support that Charlie may have been killed by a rigged explosive device that was on him. I never dismiss the exploding mic theory. I was always clear to my team that I thought there was something there. And then my producer has a note that there are a lot of comments asking about the microphone theory. Here's what I will say about that. When I looked at image from the side, the microphone is still on him afterwards. So like when you see it from on, it looks like it kind of disappears, but then it kind of shifts. When you look at the, perspective slightly to the left, you see that it actually stays on him and it's just in the fold. I would imagine if anything did sling into him, with that kind of a force, it would fall off. And I can tell you it doesn't fall off. Yeah, I never changed my mind. Maybe we should be looking below. Charlie was shot from the back. Charlie Kirk was shot from the back.
All right, now again, a lot of Candace Owens fans are going to be mad at me for even playing this. This is what she said. I'm not against Candace. I've looked at things that I think are legitimate and given my opinion, may not be right. I've looked at stuff that I think is correct, covered it. So this is a big whodunit. There's a lot of problems with the official story. And, you know, we're the ones that broke the Catch-Till order to cover up a foreign involvement. It was Harrison Smith that was with high-level TPUSA saying Charlie thinks Israel's going to kill him a month before he died. We published that. I'm not saying Israel did it. I'm just saying we've been covering whatever's real meat and potatoes. And now the footage that they said showed, you know, at the pretrial stuff, him clearly shooting him. It's not clear. It adds a lot more questions than not. And then they're like, oh, see, it shows the shooter, but it's not him. Well, now they're away from the exploding microphone. And they say, no, it is a exploding microphone. So I'm going to shut up. Eva Frey's been holding a while to get on here. So I'm trying to give him like 10 minutes to open up with what he saw. Any angles he wants to go to, any clips he wants, I'm sure he sent the crew. I told him to do that, so he may have done that. I've got a bunch of more clips here. But I think at the end of the day, there's a loss of trust in the system, and this thing is a disaster. You didn't have a grand jury indict. I think it's the only state that can do this, where the prosecutors did it. Viva's the lawyer. He can correct me, but this is really unprecedented. And then the ChatGPT confession that is, to me, looks fake. And then just everything changing and just on and on, and George Zinn jumping up a second later. I did it. So quote, the shooter can get away. And then a bunch of other people turn around. Clearly the shot came from, I think did come from, you know, not up close, but off. And they're like, yay. Like they knew the 10 posts and 3 days before he'll be dead tomorrow. And then that day, see, we told you. And then Cash Patel was told by TVUSA High Level, said, we're not looking at that. We know they were involved. We can't prove it. So we're not going there. Well, if you have his support network, that's even more proof. And then they say, oh, well, he's confessed and all this. And then I've talked to some of the family and heard recordings and done other things. And they say they're scared and can't talk, but what you're being told isn't true. So I don't know the truth. I just, in my opinion, think she overall, from just tactics and big gotcha moments, Perry Mason moments, won if I was just a regular viewer. That doesn't mean she won on the facts or the technicals. That is my opinion. Viva Frey had a comment on X, is why he's here, and I'm going to shut up because I want to give him the floor. But let's put his X post up there if we can. The guy's found it. He just said, I like Alex Jones, but there it is. He goes, I like real Alex Jones on X, but he is flat out wrong here. Let's even accept the premise Andrew couldn't name the charges. Who flipping cares? Totally irrelevant to the actual substance. Candace had nothing of substance of theories, nothing on Israel, nothing on Tyler, the patsy. She couldn't even substantiate the Cowboys' receipt, and it just goes on. So it just goes on. There is a conspiracy here, and Candace is a pathological liar, and she will take you down if you side with her lies. Well, I'm not siding with her lies and Mitch Snow and the 12 colonels and all the rest of it. I'm saying if you watch the debate, the way the whole thing came off, I think for the average viewer, you would say that she won. Like when, you know, Trump says to Hillary, yeah, you'd be in prison. You'd be a leftist disagree with his policies. I think he won that last debate with Hillary. But enough of me. Viva Frey, thanks for being here. Sorry we got you on late.
No, don't worry about it. And my also, you know, things read much harsher. That last sentence was the you in the broad sense. If you listen to Candace Owens, you will end up getting embarrassed, much like everybody who said and went into great detail as to how Tyler Robinson couldn't be the shooter because he couldn't have gotten from the Cowboy Steakhouse in Panguitch to Orem to send the text message an hour and 13 minutes later because it's a 3-hour drive. And then she has to concede in that debate that they never tied the receipt at the steakhouse to Tyler Robinson after having publicly come out and said, hey, when I asked her, do you have the receipt? Can you publish the unredacted receipt? To which she says, stay tuned. And then in the debate yesterday says, oh no, the stay tuned was only so that the journalist who was reporting it, she doesn't name his name, but she throws him under the bus. It's his story to follow up on as if it's his fault when this thing doesn't pan out. But the point of
hold on, I gotta interrupt you. I said I wouldn't. I'm gonna walk out of the room and actually listen to you in my headset because I won't be able to shut up. Because this isn't where we're debating the debate of the insanity, but I'll back you up. We had people go look at the Egyptian planes, a bunch of others did, found out almost none of it was accurate. She said, oh, I've got it. Stay tuned. That never happened. I'm not trying to attack her, folks. I legitimately go research. I'm looking for the truth. I like Candace. We discovered her, put her on the map. It's admitted, but I'm going to shut up now, but you're right. It's like once something isn't proven right, she moves to something else, but that doesn't still mean that the official story's got more holes in a Swiss cheese. But go ahead.
Well, but the last two lines of my tweet also, I don't believe the official narrative. You know, first of all, let's back it all the way up to the beginning. Why I think you're dead wrong. The purpose of that debate, and I think it's a problem with the nature of that debate to even get into the quote, overwhelming evidence. It's a term I've never used. We can't talk about overwhelming evidence at this stage of the proceedings. It's a preliminary hearing for probable cause. If you want to say the overwhelming evidence to substantiate probable cause has been met, fine. to get into a substantive debate about the overwhelming nature of the evidence before you get into the adversarial process of a trial where someone is innocent until proven, innocent unless proven guilty, it's not a debate that should be having, you know, taking place right now. And so if you want to give Andrew the L because he didn't name the charges, you know, okay, fine. Somebody should know all seven charges. Fine. I think it's just an L to even get into the debate of the so-called overwhelming evidence at this point in time, because it's not the proper stage of the proceedings. You'll do that after there's been an adversarial process at the trial. Right now, it's preliminary hearing, probable cause. In my view, there's zero doubt they satisfied that threshold, which is a very low threshold, and this will proceed to trial. When, you know, coming out also, when Candace says, no, there's a big difference between aggravated murder and murder, and I don't know why they wouldn't charge him with murder, because they're not going to get away with aggravated murder, in her view. My understanding, first of all aggravated murder is murder, but not all murder is aggravated murder. And I even think that the lesser and included in aggravated murder is murder. So if they don't prove the aggravated part, they'll still prove the murder part, or at least they'll try to a trial.
But isn't aggravated in that stage is the same thing as premeditated?
It's the element that carries with it the death penalty, whereas with, I guess, murder, or the lesser but included in aggravated murder, it doesn't carry the death penalty.
Well, manslaughter is an unintentional killing. Murders where you're mad or didn't know you were into it, but you killed somebody. And then you've got aggravated murder is you were planning to do it and did it. And then I guess you call like a president or a cop, that's capital one, right?
Well, I won't, you know, I don't pretend to know all the details of specific states. I just know in this particular case, it's they need to prove the aggravated element in order to seek the death penalty, which they wouldn't have with a standard called standard murder charge. The bottom line, however, yeah, Alex should have been able, Andrew should have been able to list off the seven charges, especially because they're overlapping. And you know, some of them are more or less relevant. The obstruction of proceedings relevant only because they basically tried to argue that his advice, Tyler Robinson's advice to Lance Twiggs, wasn't obstruction. It was altruistic, just looking out for the best interests of Lance Twiggs and not trying to impede with official proceedings. But all that, set that aside. We're not talking the trial right now. We're not talking the overwhelming evidence. That debate, in my view, should have been limited to Candace Owens trying to substantiate and flesh out and provide the evidence for the slew of statements she's made over the last 10 months that she's built this portion of her career on. And when she gets up, fine, Alex, yeah, Andrew reacted badly to that. You don't accuse someone of having, you know, cheated to get the results of when they finally answer the question. The whole back and forth, childish, yeah. That, in my view, should never have been the question. It's not a relevant question. He'll have a trial. We'll decide what the overwhelming evidence is when it's all presented and you know, when the adversarial process has challenged that evidence. Right now, it was, hey, Candace, for about the last year, you've been talking about Egyptian planes, trap doors, the French Legion trying to kill you, Israel, Zionists being behind this. What's your evidence? And she gets out there and not, I mean, she said the word I feel or feels like, a variation of which, almost 60 times during that debate. How anybody can say, fine, Andrew didn't know the charges, don't go to him for the authority on the legal proceedings. How anybody can continue listening to Candace when she gets out there and says, what's my evidence for Israel was in on it? First of all, she backtracked everything. Oh, I never said Erica Kirk was complicit in the killing or the cover-up. Bullcrap. Bullcrap you did, and don't tell me I have to go watch all of your shows in order to understand the context, because I'm not going to and I don't. But don't tell me that you didn't suggest Erica Kirk was in on the conspiracy or cover-up and then backtrack to say, oh, no, she was only complicit in the narrative that Tyler Robinson acted as the lone shooter. I mean, it's such a disingenuous backtrack, but set that aside, sincerity versus disingenuousness. When he asked her what your evidence was that Israel was involved, and I'm not defending Israel, they have a history of extrajudicial assassinations in the most sinister, discreet ways possible.
But it's fair to ask what the evidence is. That's what I said when they said it 2 days in. I said, I want to see the evidence. You're a Mossad agent. I'm just like, show me the evidence.
No, and not just that. It's one thing to not believe something. It's another thing to want to believe something. If you want to believe Israel was somehow in on it, you want to ask the questions to test the theory. You want to see the evidence so that you can know how those who are going to try to disprove it are going to try to disprove it. The bottom line, for those who have been saying it's a Zionist conspiracy cover, she had her chance yesterday. What's that evidence? Well, the first part of her answer was Gish Gallop garbage, where she goes into, well, I don't believe the official narrative that Tyler Robinson who's into the 2S LGBTQ furry stuff, but he never talked about it with Lance Twiggs. First of all, that's entirely a diversion, but very interesting all of a sudden that while they say, I don't trust Lance Twiggs, he got use immunity for a statement, but now I'm going to rely on his testimony, which is self-serving to say we never discussed politics or LGBTQ politics. That's self-serving because I wouldn't be surprised if Lance Twiggs is heavily involved in this. I just know that I can't substantiate that statement right now.
Oh, man, just, I agree with you. He comes off as uber creepy. And then, all just coming off, all the connections, not knowing any of it. And then a lot of the weird videos look like he's at the scene. I mean, I got to say, my Spidey sense goes off the chart when I look at that guy.
Well, and again, people say, Vivi, you're carrying the Fed slump. I'm not. I believe that there is a conspiracy here, but all of this diversion has now allowed the authorities to say, we don't need to entertain any of these questions because you're up with the Egyptian planes, trapdoors, and exploding microphones. You guys are nuts. We don't have to address the legitimate questions. Yeah, I think it's weird that Kash Patel, if to the extent it's true, and I do believe Joe Kent when he says it.
I mean, Kent told me that to my face last weekend.
We were in the same rooms. Yeah. And, you know, it's, I believe Joe Kent when he says it. And then people say, well, that's proof that Israel was alive. First of all, absence of proof is not proof of something. You say, if that's your evidence, and that's the reason why I don't have any evidence, well, that's a legitimate thing. Okay, I would find the evidence if they did the proper investigation, is not evidence of an act. And so it's the impossible, unfalsifiable. The evidence is that the evidence doesn't exist because we weren't allowed to get the evidence, which I know exists, but we weren't allowed to get it. The issue is, you know, might be more that it could have shown a domestic involvement. It could have shown confidential human sources, agents, assets involved in these online communities that radicalize people. We've seen it with Gretchen Whitmer.
Hold on. It's not that it may have shown that. I've counted them, 10 messages in the 3 days before, 6 the day before saying he'll be dead tomorrow. 3 of them came out and said, see, I told you he'd be dead. And then Zinn knew to be there instantly to yell, jump up and scream, it's me, so he could get away. A bunch of people turned around and cheered instantly. The word was out. I mean, I was told, I'm not going to name names. I talked to 2 high-level TPUSA people. I mean, right at the top. Not Erica Kirk. Obviously, it wasn't her. And they said, point blank, I said, hey, why? I said, you guys are getting blamed for this. I don't think you're involved. I know a bunch of guys for years. Obviously, you're not black op murderers, and black op killing crews don't get why conspiracy get you to join in on it. That's very amateurish. You know, Candace thinks, you can't shoot a rifle on the ground. It hits your eye. You know, she has a lot of blank spots. And he both of them told me, no, we talked to Cash a lot. And we said, why don't you? And they're like, well, we know they did that, but probably did know it was going to happen. But we can't prove that they were accomplices, so we don't want to have a loss. To me, I'm no lawyer or prosecutor, but I study it. If you have this group in support of him, that's the proof right there that they saw it. So you make them turn state's evidence. The fact that the FBI didn't want to touch that is big. But notice, Candace, I'm not mad at Candace, but she never seems to get into the cover up of the trans community. They're saying, we're going to kill Charlie Kirk. They're a very violent group. They celebrate it, and we're not supposed to look at that. And all I ever said was no, we have to look at this and accomplices and him. I think it's a very reasonable avenue of investigation. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, in as much as they think Israel had the incentive, which is you can theorize a mens rea, an intent. In as much as they think Israel had that intent because Charlie Kirk was going to sway a generation of conservatives away from supporting Israel, so too did the LGBTQ furry trans community with the stated purpose of having done that in the past. In as much as Charlie said he's nervous that, you know, Israel or, you know, he's going to get taken out for his changing views, he was also concerned about the violence from the trans community. So it's the, you know, the blinders that they don't even apply the same logic. And this is Candace. To Israel, to the trans community that they do to Israel. But the bottom line, she had the chance. What was your evidence? And she gets out there and says, well, I don't believe the narrative that Tyler, did it out of a heat of passion for trans rights because Lance Twiggs, who I now trust, said they never discussed politics. Oh, and then he went and ate at a Chick-fil-A, which is exactly what a LGBT.
And let's not forget Twiggs has been given immunity, which makes him very suspect.
Well, he was given use immunity. So that means that he cannot be prosecuted for the statement that he provided. But if they find evidence of wrongdoing through other means, he can still be prosecuted. It's not blanket immunity. It's a big distinction. And the argument will be that they wanted at least to be able to convict one individual.
My point is, it is immunity on the statements is what I meant.
Yes, immunity on the statements. And some people are angry about that. But they can still, if he committed a crime, if he partook of it, if he was the one on the roof that actually took the shot, which incidentally, I could believe that as well. When there's the slightest piece of evidence to substantiate it, they can still prosecute Lance for crimes he may have committed if they can find the evidence through means other than that statement.
But they're not going to go against their official story now.
Look, that they acted alone. And the problem is, I mean, I don't know who believes that Tyler acted alone to the extent that he did this. You have people with advanced knowledge. You have George Zinn, a man who was subsequently arrested for CSAM on his phone.
He had a fan club instantly celebrate it when the shot happened.
Yeah, people celebrate it. There were advanced warnings. George Zinn is there, pretends to be the shooter for his stated purpose of letting the shooter get away. Has CSAM on his phone. My operating theory is that there were these Discord chats that radicalized Tyler. George Zinn was in on them, LARPing as a pervert teenager, getting his rocks off with these people. They had discussed it, whatever. He had inclination. He knew that this was going to happen, and he goes there, and he thinks he's going to get in somebody's good books by letting his lover boy get off. I mean, that's my operating theory, except, you know, we don't have the evidence to substantiate that. I can appreciate that I can say something and know that I don't have the evidence to substantiate that. The problem is, however, the question has not yet been answered by either the FBI.
No, I agree, but that makes a lot of sense because Twiggs is much more serious and competent. The other guy looks like he's been electroshock torture or something. And then there's a lot of video that looks like the build and the shoes and the things of Twiggs. I thought that was, since I saw him in the hearing from the interviews, that made my skin crawl and the whole background. Sounds like he's the mastermind, and then his lover is mind-controlled or something, and basically is taking the fall, and they think because it isn't him actually doing it, Robinson, that they think it'll be a dead end at the end of it, and this is some master thing they cooked up.
But we can appreciate when we are theorizing versus when we don't have concrete evidence to substantiate those theories.
That's right, and if people criticize you and I saying that has a lot of, you know, that should be looked into, we're not going to get mad at people and call them Mossad agents.
No, and not just that. I would theorize or suggest that the reason why these particular questions, which are direct and relevant and foreseeable, understandable questions, the reason they don't have to address them anymore is because we all get lumped together in trapdoor Egyptian planes, getting the time zones wrong, and so we all get lumped together with crazy people, not just people asking questions. The question I've had since the beginning, has the FBI or the Utah State investigators confirmed that they have identified, verified, and cleared everybody involved in any text or Discord message with Tyler Robinson or Lance Twiggs? There hasn't been an answer to that yet. And
yeah, why don't we learn who else they were talking to?
And by the way, also relevant, these are dots and you can connect them. It would appear if you believe that Tyler Robinson was radicalized online as per, you know, something of the narrative, something, you know, his parents said, yeah, within the last year he got radicalized. It's the same time frame within which Thomas Crooks had gotten radicalized. Thomas Crooks, who we were told and lied about his social media footprint. And, you know, this is what I guess at some point the blame not all comes back to the DOJ, but some of it does, understandably so. When you have an FBI DOJ that has misled you under this administration, lied to you, or at least provided inaccurate information to you under this administration about Thomas Crook's social media footprint, and then they go after Tucker Carlson for revealing that information, Brianna Morello for revealing that information, when you have that FBI come out and tell you, despite everything we've said over the last 5 years, Epstein killed himself, we have a video that shows it, and the video doesn't show it, and nobody believes it, and then you got a DOJ coming out and saying, we all signed off on that, you know, agreement as to what happened with Epstein, except they didn't sign off on that memo that was leaked to Axios. When you have an FBI DOJ doing that, you can't blame people for not believing anything they ever have to say. The flip side, however, and this is where people I think are going down the conspiracy psychosis alley, which is, it's different to say I don't believe anything they say versus I'm going to believe the exact opposite out of a reflex, or I get to believe whatever the hell I want at this point. And when people are coming out saying Israel did it, Israel just shot Charlie Kirk, it's the Zionists, yada, yada, yada. Fine. It might very well be. What was your evidence, Candace? Nothing. She had her moment to show all of her evidence. Nothing. Other than a convoluted explanation for, like, you know, LGBT people don't eat Chick-fil-A.
What about Erica Kirk? They say they have photos of the Fort Huachuca Hotel. I keep waiting for that.
Yeah, the Fort Huachuca Hotel. That Erica, there was a secret meeting. I mean, it's first of all, everybody's reflex to say, well, you know, more often than not, a spouse is involved when the other spouse gets killed. Context matters. Like, when they get randomly shot, okay, fine. You'd have to say, well,
that's like saying Jackie Kennedy was involved in the murder of JFK.
People have lost their minds over this, and I won't. It's not a question of her marketing it. Your montage of Candace at the beginning is more ruthless than anything I would put together. But, you know, it's. I'll just assume that she righteously believes everything she's saying. At some point, you put out enough garbage that is disproven and, you know, unsubstantiated. At some point, you have to own up for it. Yesterday was the comeuppance. Fine. Andrew Wilson couldn't name the charges. I don't think it's appropriate to have a discussion about the overwhelming evidence at this stage of the proceedings. Even when I was doing, you know, the analysis of the preliminary hearings.
Yeah, just
on
the name of the debate was skewed against Candace. What I'm saying is I don't think Candace is a bad person. A lot of what she's brought up real. The problem is every avenue she investigates has to be accurate, even when she changes the view. And then, I mean, take Mitch Snow. She's like, here's this guy. He saw this. Doesn't make sense. 12 colonels, all this. I know that. I go look. And then here's the footage his wife put out. He's convicted of him taking the keys, beating the car, attacking her with a hammer, barricading her in the garage. He's convicted of it. He's on air begging for money, saying his wife did it to him when there's footage and he's convicted. And then her supporters go, I mean, to a man, well, it doesn't matter if he's a known convicted con man and liar. The Wachuca is real. And I go, it doesn't matter if someone, a whole bunch of other famous con artists stuff and convictions. Like this guy is like, catch me if you can. And I'm like, this guy's probably bringing this in on purpose. He's not just a grifter to discredit the whole thing. They're like, shut up, Mossad agent. I mean, and to me, the Mitch Snow thing is just spectacular.
Well, again, like I don't know Candace and I don't need to attribute malice or ill intent to what she's done. The outcome is the same. The theories have been bogus. And the explanation from her crowd is, well, her opinions evolve as time goes on. If you make your bed with inadequate information, you don't get to change the sheets and say, well, you know, new information came in. No, you posited things based on inaccurate information. And you came to conclusions based on insufficient, inadequate, non-existent information or outright wrong.
Well, in any trial, if a witness gets caught in even one lie, they're discredited. So this new idea that Mitch Snow's a known super con man thoroughbred and everything he says is caught on video and convictions being the opposite of reality. He's not even that sophisticated. He just reverses reality. And then we're supposed to believe him as if it's the word of God and someone's past lies don't matter in the future. That is the murder of logic and common sense. And I just go back to that. And again, people say, well, wait, are you for Candace or against her? No, we exposed the stand that we exposed. They said, don't look at foreign environment. We exposed obvious accomplices. We exposed the confessional like a ChatGPT, or you can't throw a telescopic scope on like that and put this rifle together in that time. That's proven that whatever the gun was they had isn't the one they found at the chicken coop. Okay. So I don't believe any of it. I don't blame anybody questioning it, but then if I'm going to spend my time, because everybody wants me to analyze each point, I've got integrity. I'm going to tell you what I think is accurate and what isn't. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you can disprove me. But it doesn't mean I'm a Mossad agent. I just spent an hour exposing Israel and the horrible stuff they're doing.
Well, Alex, I mean, in the same day, literally, I get called a Jew hater and a Zionist. I mean, I get called, doing this to benefit the administration. When I had people calling for my deportation, when I was criticizing, vigorously the rollout of the Epstein debacle, and when I was criticizing the strikes in Iran going back to Operation Midnight Hammer, it is tribalism on steroids. And the people out there who now say, this is COVID 2.0 and the people who are buying up the Fed slop are the trust the science peoples. There is an inability not only to understand nuance, there is the compulsion to view things as basic black and white tribalist adherence. And Lionel, whatever his name is, Lionel Media, coming out saying, Viva's against Candace? I thought he was one of us. What kind of idiotic thought process is that? I'm a pretty lone and independent individual. I mean, I'm pretty much as lone wolfish as you can get in terms of not.
No, I mean, I believe you believe what you're saying. And most of the time you're right. You're a guy of integrity and everything you're saying is true about where you stand. Exactly. You're really trying to figure this out. And the idea that if we don't just say, the official story is totally true, we're called scum by one. I'm attacked by people that hate Candace, and I'm a type of people that love her because I have integrity and I'm just sitting here calling what I see.
Well, Alex, you know what the greatest gift was to the Pizzagate story? The dude who got, convinced to go to Comet Pizza and shoot the place up, because as of that moment, nobody ever talked about the Podesta emails again. Nobody talked about the freaky art that talks about, a handkerchief with math, pizza-related maps on it. As of the time one individual was goaded into doing something stupid, it gave the powers that be the moral, ethical authority and even obligation to disregard all of that crazy Pizzagate talk. So if I would have zero trouble even believing if Israel were involved. I mean, I'd say maybe they would probably go about it in a more discreet manner like they've done with other assassinations.
They like to kill you in hotel rooms.
Well, certainly, and people bring up the pagers. And it's like, first of all, the only reason Israel went with the pagers to kill the Hamas people, A, it was extremely risky and didn't, you know, take them out more often than not. The only reason they did it is because they had no access to bring in men to, you know, poison or assassinate. The idea that they would go with the riskiest, most, you know, most, I would say, easily traceable method of assassination, it defies logic. But set that aside. I would have zero problem believing, accepting that some foreign or domestic agents were involved because Charlie Kirk was going to be the next president. He was going to be a next conservative president. He was a singularly unique human with the power of persuasion that very few people have on this earth because he was so sincere and likable. Zero problem to believe it. But you've got to give the slightest shred of evidence, which is not the absence of evidence. Well, I know Israel did it because Kash Patel wouldn't look into it after Joe Kent suggested they look into a foreign nexus, is not evidence of an act. And this is all that the evidence has ever been, is suggestions, running theories, you know, debunked outright disinformation. But they want to believe it so bad, they shout out at the people who, you know, ask the questions to challenge their theory.
So let me ask you this, though. What happens when they have the trial? Because, you know, you're a lawyer. You came and covered one of my show trials in Texas, and you accurately reported on that was total fraud. And I've talked to a lot of reporters that are at this trial. They say so far it looks like the judge is being somewhat fair and, you know, stuff's transparent. You know, they call the pretrial stuff the actual trial, which it wasn't. But I've been in show trials, so then it makes me kind of a little bit suspect of other ones. But gut level or looking at this, as this unfolds, how long is the trial going to take? How are people going to respond to this? Where do you see this going? Because I see the more we debate it, the bigger a black hole it becomes. And I just don't ever see how we do find the truth. We just know the official story, obviously, doesn't add up. So where does this go in your view?
Well, I'll add an important distinction. Your trial was a show trial because you never had a trial. They went straight to quantum. It would be basically like defaulting Tyler Robinson into guilt and then only having a trial to determine if it's the death penalty.
You don't even have a pretrial or a trial. You just skip right to sentencing and the judge puts onto the jury why you're guilty.
Let's assume it gets to a trial where you have full production of the evidence. People will never be satisfied. People will always say they're all in on it. The judge is in it. We've gotten to the point now where people are saying the defense attorneys are in on it. What's her name? Nestor is in on it because they didn't raise certain elements that they could have raised when people believe that the text messages were fabricated, falsified, whatever. If this goes to trial and there's a conviction, it will never convince people. If it goes to trial and there's an acquittal, it'll spawn a whole new slew of conspiracies. If he pleads out, because this is, you know, I think maybe more likely where it's going to go, because I think the defense probably knows more stuff than Candace Owens. If he pleads out after they strike a deal that removes the death penalty from the table, people are going to say this is more evidence of the corruption because this is what the feds do. They overcharge to coerce a settlement. And it's, you know, this is the problem of the system, which is a legitimate criticism as well. And then you never get to exploring alternative, not alternative theories, potential accomplices. And so that'll not satisfy anybody. Or God forbid, if he gets Epstein or dies or takes his own life, you got a whole new slew of conspiracies going on.
I was about to say, exactly. I think there's a really good chance of that because it's got the same federal forces swirling around it. My issue with Andrew Wilson is this. He's debated my son a few times. It's not just my son. I just so happen to have seen those. And then I saw him in some other debates that they saw some of them on Rogan. So I debated him last Saturday and I actually didn't do as good as I would have in a 4-hour debate because, and we won it and they admitted we won halfway through. They go, you're right. The war's wrong. We shouldn't throw Trump, you know, out the window. And you guys are just Trump derangement syndrome. And we should just back Trump in the war because it's going to hurt us too bad to have the Democrats in. I'm like, that's two separate things. But he did so many little weird tricks and appeals to emotion and laughing and then like, we all know that it's ridiculous that the NDAA merges us with Israel, right? We all know it. And he's like, we all know. The damn bill says it. Netanyahu wrote it. And at a certain point, I was like, you're full of crap, man. Okay? And, you know, just so what I'm saying is I'm a little prejudiced in, I'm going to be completely honest. He comes off as very swarmy and really villainish. I'm going to be honest, Andrew, and I want him on the show. I want to debate him. I don't like him. And so Candace, for all her issues and all the cultishness around it and her surrogates that she fully backs going completely ape when you question anything. And I have real problems with her. But I'll have problems with the whole thing because I can't figure it out. And it's because the loss of trust and it's a whodunit that just won't go away. It's like a pain in my neck that won't go away. So I'm just mad at everybody. And he was likable in ways, but it was still like my spidey sense was like, man, I'm not going to turn my back on this guy. And I just think the swarminess. I mean, I was watching this double speed just trying to get through him. And I just, what I meant when I said he lost, I think her bearing, he got a lot of shots in. I'm not saying that. But just the way she handled it and just his likability, and I think the internet agrees with me. I think she won the debate. You still think I'm wrong?
Well, no, I still think you're wrong, but it's only because that's not the part of the debate that I think is relevant at all.
And well, you're a lawyer, so you were trying to look at facts.
Well, I was trying to, I think it's improper to have a debate on the overwhelming nature of the evidence at this stage because it hasn't been through the adversarial process. I think that entire discussion is a losing discussion.
And that goes back, because you're right, that goes back to the pretrial where they had all those influencers, a bunch of them, my friends, and then when I saw it, it was all scripted, the exact same statements, and I was just like, whoever's telling him to say this, and oh, we saw him up close pull the trigger, and then that wasn't the case. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, look, there have been things that I know or I suspect people would rephrase if they could. When they came out and said, it was clear, we saw him take the shot. I mean, I understood how they were doing it or how they were getting there because I understand how the chain of identification in that video montage worked, where they say like, okay, this is him here. Now you don't know that it's him. You wouldn't know in abstract if that's him, but now he's here on the roof. Here's taking the shot.
But they weren't clear when they said that. Yeah.
Well, I say they were worse than not clear. They were definitely overselling it, even if semantically what they said was accurate. But I know these guys, and I know Jack. I know Benny as well, but I know Jack better. I'm sure he would have rephrased it differently. And also, I don't attribute malice to these, their actions. I understand that they are, in fact, personally invested. They knew Charlie not exponentially better than
me. Well, they're also invested in saying they believe the official story, and the trans folks said we're going to kill him and celebrated it. So it's not – I understand. And so I don't think it's a conspiracy. They all kind of saw it. They were in there. They go, God, that was pretty good proof. But my point was when I saw them come out, though, I saw the talking point, and I went, you guys should have at least changed your talking point up a little bit. This is obvious.
I wouldn't even accuse them of having a standard talking point. Overwhelming evidence is sort of the standard catchphrase when you talk about evidence in a trial. Not at a preliminary hearing.
They're like, it's over. You can see it. Incredible proof. You know, it's all done, folks. Go home.
And if the argument is, well, okay, they meant in terms of the bottom line, I'm not going to defend it. I didn't retweet it at the time because I wanted to verify exactly what they saw. And when I understood what they saw, I was like, social media is not going to be friendly to them on their statements. But the bottom line, I appreciate when you thought, Andrew, his debate tactic can rub people the wrong way. You could go for demeanor, you can go for style, and maybe he lost there. And maybe he comes off as a bit smarmy if you want to, or he comes off as a little bit condescending.
Well, he does a confidence act, like, ooh, I got you. Like, oh, do you know the 7? Ooh. And then she knows, she goes, oh, you had a little trick up your sleeve. Where's the phone, sweetie?
I'm sure he is self-reflective enough to go back to that part of the debate and say, that was stupid. Like, don't ask questions.
Let me tell
you,
it's like when Jordan jumps over 5 players and like flies and does the, I mean, he, it's not even that Candace is that good. She did a great job. He teed himself up for a double smackdown. I mean,
I agree, but that wasn't the purpose of the debate. Call it that. And it's without consequence because we're not at the point where we should be talking about the overwhelming nature of the evidence. We're at the preliminary hearing and that debate was for Candace to flesh out some of her evidence to substantiate her multiple claims. And she utterly failed on that. And that was the only thing I was interested
in. Sure.
No,
I mean, she didn't back up her. What I really think was where she, if you want to look for someone that actually follows it, because I was saying one for the general public, I said that too. I said in the generalized, the general people, in my opinion, she would win in optics. It doesn't mean the technicals, but if I was judging it as someone like a tactician on the facts, that I can't believe I had know all these. I'm so, it's like, it's just sucking all the oxygen out. She was backpedaling on saying TPUSA and everybody was involved. She was backpedaling on a whole bunch of other stuff. So her then going, no, I never said that. No, I didn't do that. No, that's not what I meant.
Can you imagine her
sat there and watched it. Yeah.
No, imagine her saying that when she said stay tuned for the unredacted receipt, it was stay tuned for the coverage by Diligent Denizen. I mean, imagine having the audacity to say that. You got Baron Coleman in one of his episodes going on for I don't know how long, saying he couldn't possibly have gotten from Panguitch to Orem, so it can't possibly be him. And they're basing it on a receipt which they say they saw, which doesn't prove what they are concluding it proves. And then during that debate, she has to concede that they never tied that receipt to Tyler Robinson. How and that she'll update her timeline if someone comes out and proves and debunks it by showing that it doesn't correlate to the bank account, which she assumes is going to happen. And if it doesn't, she'll revise her timeline. How the hell do you have the balls to do that? How do you have the audacity to come out and say things like, trapdoor. I'm just exploring theories. No, that
well,
was
my biggest problem with her is, and I've seen the timelines. You said, "Oh, I was brutal," and that's not my compilation. But I didn't see it all set. Oh, it's an aggregate compilation.
I mean, that's as bad. Just to seal man it, Alex. They're going to say, "Oh, well, now she's re-exploring the microphone theory because you know she said that he was shot early on, and now new information has come out." You know, at some point, you know, a broken clock is right twice a day, and at some point, you don't get the benefit of having said A and not A, because over the course of a year, you've been so wild, you've said both A and not A. It sort of, it goes back to like the argument with Trump. Well, Trump always said that Iran can never have a nuclear weapon. Trump always said that Iran's been fighting us forever. Well, true, but you don't, someone doesn't get to say now, because I said both contradictory statements, that it means I was, you know, being forthright.
But it's worse than that. The lion's share was, you vote for her World War III. I won't go to war with Iran. I'll end the Russia war the first day. The lion's share was, vote for me to stop war. And he didn't do it in the first term, so I thought it had real credibility.
No, and if you notice it, you can go look up how these terms get used. The idea that Iran had been at war for 47 years really only started picking up after people got the idea that, well, this is where we have to pivot to right now. But you don't get the benefit, because you said both A and not A at some point over the last 10 years, to then say, well, I didn't mislead you, you misunderstood or you didn't hear me when I said it the first time. When Candace comes out and says, exploding mic theory, he was shot from the back, he was shot from the front, he was shot from the down, he wasn't shot.
She doesn't just say he was shot from the front and then back. She says, I've always said from the front, it is the front, it is the front. Next. I've always said it was an exploding microphone, and then like, oh, look, it's on the roof. It's a different shooter. See from the front. Now her people are like, no, it's an exploding mic and a shooter. And I'm just like, guys, please stop. I don't mean stop questioning, just stop. But here's the thing. You got a lot of people that aren't that smart that have finally woke up some, and now they're trying to invest. I'm not trying to be mean to them, but Viva, this is what happens when you get the unwashed masses, which I'm good to have awakened, but it's kind of a process for them. They're like 2-year-olds with the finger painting right now, I think.
Well, this is what happens when you get into the, by the way, Alex, people thought I was calling you psychotic because I guess they didn't realize that you used the term back in the day, but this is when you've been lied to so much, you get into a frame of mind where everything is the wildest conspiracy out there. I practiced litigation for a long time, and I said this happens after people are involved in litigation for a long enough period of time. Everybody's against them. The judge is against them. Their own lawyer's against them. Their mother's against them.
If you've ever been around a kid that's been abused, I've only seen it a few times, but I've read about it and saw it, and you'll just move your arm or you'll reach to get something, and they do this? It doesn't mean you're beating them, but somebody else has been beating them, so they have that reflex. And exactly, I don't blame the public not believing anything, but you know, you got people that think the Capitol was built 5,000 years ago because we can't build it today, even though there's photos of it being built and, you know, people's ancestors wrote books about it that they're following. You know, there's people who think the Earth's flat, and I'm not even attacked. They don't have any context. They just think they're being lied to, which they are at many levels. So now they think everything's fake. And it's pretty scary.
Well, it's a post-truth world, but the problem is, I actually had people defending Candace when, you know, I said, at least now she's admitting that Charlie was shot. And they're like, oh no, it would still be technically shot if it was a projectile coming off an exploding microphone because it behaves the same way. I'm like, this is not asking questions anymore. This is cultish.
No, she comes out and goes, look, the shooter's got bigger muscles. He runs. He clearly doesn't put it together. There's not time, which is true. If it's the gun, they say. But it's still an exploding microphone. It's like, you guys, like we don't believe the official story, but we're investigators trying to find out what it is, and all of this horse shit is obscuring it.
And appreciate that the people who say we're just asking questions are literally trying to shut up the people who are testing their theories. I literally had one of Candace's gangs, I don't know who they are, saying, we're gonna bully you off the internet. I was like, oh, you guys are the ones asking questions, and now you're trying to shut down, shut up, and harass into silence everybody who's testing your theories. And everybody out there, I'm not telling anybody not to ask questions. Period. Full stop.
By the way, you know my show, it is Classic Talk Radio. I say, this is one I'm thinking, I'm not sure, because I actually want to hear people say it. It's very thought-provoking. I'm not just like, oh, tell me what you think so you feel good. I'm like, I go read comments to try to get angles and links, and when I don't, because usually I can figure something out, but when I can't, we brainstorm it. And then I want to be challenged. That's great radio anyways.
Well, but that's also how you test your own theories. Operate on the basis that I want Tyler Robinson to be innocent. I have no care one way or the other, and I believe that other people were involved if Tyler Robinson is the one who took the shot or had any involvement. But let's just assume I want it to be, I want Tyler Robinson
to be
innocent.
Hold on a minute. When you, go back to a minute. When you mildly criticize me here and there, the crew's great, but a few of them are like, you know, and I've even had listeners, people go, that son of a bitch, let's get him. Not the crew, but other people. And I'm like, he mildly criticized me. And if he was right, this is good. I'm a public figure. We're big boys. And we need to get to the point where this is normal.
You're a reasonable, intellectually honest individual. And if you're wrong, you will reassess, period. But the idea that people say, like, I'm trying to shut Candace up, ask all the questions you want. And you want people to ask you the questions.
That's another thing they do. That's another thing. Not just with her. It's all over the place. And I love Owen, but this is part of the reason he quit. I would sometimes on air say, I saw Owen say this yesterday. I disagree with it. And he would tell me and crew, I don't want to be censored like this. Dude, me disagreeing with 5% of what you say, we should have more debates than that. That's not censoring you for me to have an opinion. That's not censoring.
It's not censoring to say you're wrong and people should know that you're wrong. If it's, I don't know, Owen, whatever, but with Candace. But
well, he was kind of right. He was madder at Trump earlier than me, which I'll concede he was probably actually right on the point. The point was me mildly saying, don't be pure black-pilled. A lot of good's happening. My point was he thought that, but I see with the left, they're like, if you criticize what they're saying, they go, oh, you're censoring me. No, that's not censoring. That's called debate.
No, it's actually called an invitation to speak up more. But back up to the, you know, if I want it to be Tyler Robinson and I want to prove that he was at the Cowboy Steakhouse, these are the questions I'm going to ask. How do we know that that receipt identifies him? How do you reconcile the waiter saying, I identified Tyler Robinson there and he drank two beers, but there's no beers on the receipt? If you want it to be true, that's when you have to question it the most. Or if you just want to be intellectually rigorous, you question everything all the time. But being
let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story. I'm going to go back to this. We grew up on a golf course community on the lake in Dallas, in Rockwall, Texas, a suburb. And I wasn't a bad kid, but I was flamboyant. And I was like 12 years old then, and I'd been in a bunch of big fights, even at the country club with older kids and stuff. So I was seen as the villain. So everybody knew who we were. We lived in a big house on the hill and all the rest of it. And so we'd been to church and gone to the cafeteria. And we pull in about 2 o'clock, and there are the police. And there's the golf course association manager. And so we get out of the Bronco, my mom, my dad, and me. My sister wasn't born yet. She came up, a few years later. And the police are there, and they're standing there. Oh, Mr. Jones, talk to him. And my dad goes over, in the yard and talks to the golf course manager. And my dad walks back over there, and he starts talking to the cops. And then they start talking in front of me, and he's like, Alex, come over here. Alex, did you just rob the boat enclosure? Because this old man had just caught kids robbing the boat enclosure where everybody parks their boats that aren't in the marina. And the old man goes, yep, that's him. I just saw you robbing the boat enclosure in front of the cops. And my dad looks at him, and he says, I got a Luby's receipt right here. We were just at this church. We just stayed here. And then we pulled through and got gas. Here's my gas receipt. And the cops were looking at him, and they go, you want to retract your false report? And the old man goes, no, and runs off. But my point is, that's what receipts are about. And so it's the same thing with the steakhouse. But those old people were like so convinced of it, they didn't want to admit they were wrong. And that's the example I'm talking about here, where once they accuse somebody, they won't get off of it.
Well, it's the, a question of ego, a question of pride, a question of also, there are a lot of people out there who operate on the basis that others will use an apology or a retraction the way they would, which is to weaponize it and not actually accept it, but just use it as, hey, you were wrong. You're permanently discredited. Whenever I make a mistake, I try to make the correction more public than the mistake. Just the nature of the beast is sometimes mistakes go viral and then the correction never gets as much traction. I'm lucky that it hasn't been too serious, other than, mistaking a tweet for real and, coming to a conclusion that proved to be false.
Well, to finish the story, I didn't finish it because I'm now remembering it. So the cops, after 10 minutes, leave, and my dad talks to the old man and his wife and a few of the other golf carts that were there, the old angry committee, and My dad walks back in. He goes, man, I hate that guy. I go, why? And he goes, well, he said, all right, it wasn't Alex because it was another blonde-haired kid and his brother. We later learned out who it was because I'm gone. This was they just robbed it like an hour before. Yeah, they caught him in there stealing stuff out of the boats, stereos or whatever. The old man goes, we know it wasn't your son. We know we're wrong, but we know he's a crook and we're going to get him. I was never stealing stuff. Okay. All I'd done was like beat up some older kid in front of him at the country club and they couldn't believe it because it was like one, you know, their cool kid or whatever, knocked some kid's teeth out. But the point is that's how this works once a narrative is there, people are investing in it was my only point.
No, no, I was good about this was one of my lessons growing up is my dad, when we'd get into trouble, I was like, I didn't do it. I didn't do what you're yelling at me for now. He's like, well, I know you did something else that you got away with. So, it offsets.
That's exactly what the guy said. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's different when it's your parent versus when it's someone who's trying to, we get that point. But so the bottom line, everybody ask all the questions you want. At some point, however, you also do have to appreciate if you ask dumb and distracting questions, you're no longer contributing to a discussion. You're distracting from it. And then people say, who made you the hall monitor? Nobody. We're all discussing. You'll convince me why it's not. A stupid theory that
no, they've all got their special investigation committees, and I go look, and it's like memes. And then when we question, they go, "Who are you authorized to even engage in the holy sacrament? Only Joan of Arc 2.0, Candace." And I don't dislike Candace, but it's like the cult, and that's another question. I'm no rocket scientist, but I know this. She's boosted by YouTube, boosted by everything. We're blocked. Why is she boosted by the big tech?
I don't know if that's true, Alex. I do know what I see. And
oh,
I know
it's true.
It is interesting. But that being said, you can get into what might be an inorganic boost for the purposes of creating or exacerbating a political divide to the detriment of these United States of America and to the benefit of any of its adversaries. We can go down that rabbit. These are also things where I make observation. I observe things. I'm not necessarily comfortable enough to make the broad accusation. Some people are going to say, Viva, it's sour grapes. You're not getting as much traction as she is. And, you're not grifting as well as she is. So you're bitter. It could be not, but, I've noticed it as well. And it plays into what's going on online. I have a sneaking suspicion. There's an inorganic movement to embolden the people who are organically believing this. And it's sort of it's the new iteration of mass formation psychosis where you have people who seem to be getting encouragement from organic or inorganic sources.
Well, you notice all the big top Democrats, even national hosts, they love this infighting. They love, and I'm not saying don't question, but I'm saying they're sitting back with popcorn watching this burn down MAGA, which goes to Trump, who ordered Cash Patel to shut down foreign involvement and to shut down domestic involvement. So in a way, Trump deserves it. It's just sad to see.
Well, it's terrible to see because ultimately nobody believes what's going on and it allows them to believe whatever on earth they want. And however outlandish and conspiratorial it is, however many people need to be in on the conspiracy, they say, well, I've lost so much faith in the system. I'm going to law school type thing. But just getting back, get back to the debate. There were some L's for Andrew. There were some tactical, stylistic things that he could do differently.
What were the wins? What were the losses? Yeah. What do you want to say instead of me guiding this? There's a lot of you have to say.
Well, I thought it was not inopportune. You're never going to win the argument about ballistics. So Andrew getting in and explaining why he thinks it could have been a bullet and not a microphone. These are not discussions that are going to convince anybody because the people making them are not experts and people still don't even trust the experts. So that was, I think, not a red herring, but a losing diverging path to go down in the first place. I don't like the fact that there's a discussion to discuss the overwhelming evidence right now because it's premature and it's judicially and legally inappropriate unless it's just to argue that probable cause has been met and it's going to move to trial and then we'll determine the nature of the so-called overwhelming evidence. But other than that, Candace has been making a business of this day in and day out for the last 11 months with a moving target of different conspiracy theories, a moving target of different individuals who are complicit, who were involved, who had to have done something. It has turned it into a debacle that is a travesty to the legacy of Charlie Kirk and might incidentally result in potentially the responsible individuals not being brought to justice. If you constantly are looking to Israel, despite admitting you have zero evidence to substantiate it and not diverting those resources and that attention and those online investigators to the more probable potential conspiracies, who was in those Discord chats? What's up with George? And now that just went away. And that's where you might actually for whatever the reason, profit, you know, misguided attention, misguided sincerity, you might result in actually not bringing justice to those who partook in this, because Charlie Kirk was killed. And in as much as there's people out there who are pontificating that Charlie's still alive, that it was all staged, it was all CGI, everybody on the ground is lying, he's alive and in witness protection. You can ask those questions, and I can call you absolutely insane for asking them, distracting from the discussion, and I'm trying
to... By the way, let's just stop, though. Let's just stop, because people, this is really important what you're saying, okay? And this is a debate about how we don't know what's going on. We know there's a cover-up. We're both debating the black hole that this is. So when I say this is a debate, it's a real debate. And I want criticism to try to help me, you know, think more. And when I ask for calls and read people's comments, I get a lot of information from that, and it helps stimulate me. Everybody who's got a brain knows I legitimately want to know the truth. I want to be accurate. I'm neurotic about wanting to get things correct. We have a really good track record to be some of the most accurate people out there. But I mean, that's exactly where we're at now, where we're questioning it, and then the TPUSA gets mad at us. Because I'll get calls from TPUSA, and they'll send me texts. I don't even respond to it. Like, why are you doing this? Well, this is, looks like a real avenue. I've got to cover it. And then the other side, oh, my God, you're fed slop with the Israelis. Why are you doing this? Well, no, this theory isn't accurate. And I'm not claiming I'm the arbiter or the guy that has all the answers, but I've got as much right to investigate this as anybody else does, and I don't see a lot of serious work going on. I see a lot of people, particularly on the Candace side, that it has become a cottage industry. It has become a Charlie Kirk assassination industry. I'm not going to even say her, but everybody else, where they always love the next minutia and the next serialization of it instead of getting somewhere. And you hit the key. I got multiple calls from people in the cabinet meetings that were really upset about Charlie and about being told stand down. And later it came out what I said was dead on, and Joe Kitt and others confirmed it was declassified. That, yeah, this is true. Trump killed it. And then they also killed the others. So no one ever wants to touch that. You do. No one wants to touch all the other pieces that are in this that show there is a cover-up. I notice what gets boosted and what the influencers that are the great patriots do is they go for the sensational, easily debunked stuff that becomes a black hole that gets debunked, and they just move on. So when I sit back and I look and I go, whoever really did this, I think's behind this, is some of my Army buddies that are still in and pretty high up, let's just say, in psychological operations, and some Navy people I know that are pretty smart. Without even them knowing I'm talking to different people, they're all very cynical. They think Owens is in on it. They think this is a big psyop.
I would never, I mean, I know people make that accusation, and it could be an I would never make it, period. And
by the way, I'm not accusing her of it. I'm just asking, I'm serious. I'm being sarcastic. I don't think that's the case, but I'm saying guys that do this all day, which I do it organically, and I'm probably way better than these guys, just saying, because I do it like literally 24/7. I'm just saying, and the other big group of military, Delta Force, Army Rangers, Green Berets, Navy SEAL, SEAL Team 6, I mean, you even saw the guy that reportedly killed Bin Laden, most respected SEAL. Nobody's saying O'Neill is the badass. O'Neill thinks it's a cover up, and a bunch of those guys behind the scenes.
The only reason O'Neill thinks it's a cover up is because he's repeating Candace talking points without even thinking them through. And the ultimate irony in all of this,
he knows a 30-06 goes through your neck. He knows you don't slap a telescopic soap on and have it hit.
Well, I mean, it doesn't go through your neck unless you're Martin Luther King, and then, you know, your jawbone can stop it, but not a spinal cord. But even though his statements were very wishy-washy, it was just repeating the same Candace talking points, even referencing Candace in this. And the ultimate irony in all of this is the people who are just asking questions, well, my goodness, it takes $300,000 to get them to the table to have a discussion.
Well, I will let's do that now. Do we, maybe you know, because I don't know. I'm not saying money, you got to pay crew and stuff, but pay people to fly there. What was this about cash purses and who wins and how do you decide? And well, what was that?
I don't know. Look, I know that Andrew Wilson, in order to see his name, I get mixed up because it's Owen Wilson, the actor, and you got Candace Owens and Andrew Wilson.
I understand. It's okay.
Wilson offered the $300,000. I don't know if it was as a joke or whatever to entice the debate. And, you know, she counted with $500,000 and then he counted with $1 million and he'll get to keep half. And then they ended up at $300,000. I don't know if he's, if she's actually going to take the money. I don't know if he's, you know, I don't know any of that. I don't know if, even if she gets the money, if she's going to donate it to a worthwhile cause or keep it.
Well, Mitch Snow got like 200 and something thousand.
But anyways, the bottom, I mean, look, just what I find curious is that I've invited, Ian Carroll has been on my show back in the day, and has not come back on since, and I have an open invitation. I have an open invitation to Candace, but then people say, Viva, you're a grifter, she doesn't need a platform, you. I was like, oh, okay, so I'm the grifter for wanting to have the discussion with Candace, and she's not the grifter for saying I'm below her standards and threshold, you know, of following. But the people who make these statements are very reluctant or seemingly don't go to any adversarial individual.
I love how she said to Andrew, they won't send me a TPUSA, they send another influencer. Like insulting her very genre, which, by the way, you know that comes from the Greek philosophers. An influencer didn't use real facts. They just use rhetoric. I am not an influencer. I am a patriot. I'm a truth seeker. I have a journalist hat, a pundit hat, a comedy hat, but it's all about truth. I reject the term influencer. People don't know what it means. Stop using it.
I don't take it as an insult when people say it, but I, you know, humorously retort, I'm an analyst.
What I'm saying is, I agree. The antecedent of it, the progeneration of it is bad, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, well, for sure, because the idea is, I'm an analyst commentator. If my analysis or comments carry influence, it's because of the quality of the thought and the analysis itself, which is why, you know.
Exactly. It's the accuracy of the payload that has the influence, whereas under Greek, an influencer does it with flim-flam.
With trickery, more like, you know, manipulation as opposed to convincing.
Well, that's what the guy debating can. It's all about puffery and acting like you won. Look.
Yeah, but meanwhile, he got the admissions out there, which I was just shocked were so easily provided that at the end of the day, she's got zero concrete evidence, and you say call it positive evidence, of Israel's involvement, even though hypothetically, theoretically, it's more than possible. There's just zero evidence to substantiate it, despite literally having built the movement on this. The fact that every time I say something, seemingly, you know, not supporting a narrative, but criticizing Candace or challenging her assertions, I get called a Zionist. It's the excuse that people need to stop thinking and stop addressing the substance.
Oh, it's a retarded way to change the subject. Like, the word conspiracy theory existed in a few literary areas, but it came out in the Frank Church Committee hearings. So I saw Candace attacked by fact checkers that the first time it said in 1886 or whatever. No, it was declassified in 75, the Frank Church Committee, that they had all these JFK questions and they had Jim Garrison and all the stuff coming out. So they said, call it a conspiracy theorist, don't engage in the debate because we can't win the debate. So it was popularized by the CIA, and so that's definitely what's going on.
For sure, but the coming out and the reflex from the people just asking the questions are to call everybody a Zionist or a Fed slopper.
It's like calling you a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah. Well, but also, it's the result of 10 months of unsubstantiated blaming of a country, and now when anyone's challenged on why they believe
11
that,
months.
The reflex is, you work for that country! I mean, I make the joke, I don't do memes good, but you know, Tyler Robinson could come out and admit to everything, and then they're gonna say, the Zionists got to you. And by the way, instantly, for what it's worth, even if you were to come out and admit to everything, I would need to see him make statements of knowledge that only he would have and only he could prove in order to know that it's a legit confession and not one that has been coerced to spare his life. But it's where we're at in terms of the level of thought and critical thought. The people asking the questions, the second they get asked a question or challenged in their assertions, everyone becomes a Zionist Fed slopper gobbling the official narrative, which is, by and large, is never the case. But it just, it absolves them of having to substantiate their outlandish theories. And it's not how discussion happens. It's actually how you don't get to the truth, if that's truly what you wanted, and how potentially people who may have been involved in this are going to get off because everybody's been whipped up into, you know, believing it was a foreign nation in the absence of any concrete shred of evidence. But that's the takeaway from the debate.
Well, let me raise this, though. Go ahead and make your point on that. But I want to ask you, because
in reality,
go ahead.
As far as everybody goes, you know, the overwhelming nature of the evidence, you deal with the evidence we have right now for the legal thresholds that we have right now and wait for the trial. A lot of wild things can happen at trial. And if it comes out that some of the evidence has been fabricated, and it wasn't brought up at the preliminary hearing to challenge you know, when faced with probable cause. We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Well, what do you make? What do you make of them saying they can't match the bullet and then finding a 5.56 bullet on the roof? I mean, that is wild.
Well, the bullet, I mean, look, that's another one where you say, like, okay, how on earth did a bullet get there? I've listened to a number of people who I consider to be, if not smarter than me, at least more experienced than me. And they say, look, stupid things happen in investigations. Cops drop guns. You got Michael Byrd, the guy who shot Ashley Babbitt, left his gun in a bathroom. So the idea that a cop dropped a bullet on a roof, oh, it wasn't the other roof, so why would he have been there? Look, stupid things happen in investigations. The not matching the bullet to the rifle, you know, from my understanding, not an expert, but I listened to what smarter people have to say, is more often than not in these types of cases.
Now, 30-06 doesn't break up very often. I don't bother about it.
Well, it was, you know, we now know it was a Remington core lock, which apparently is a very low quality, ammunition that has the tendency to break up. And then, you know, it was supposed to mushroom, but not fragment. Again, if the argument is going to be someone else took a shot from a different location, or it was someone else with a different gun from the same location, fine. I'll wait for that evidence before entertaining the theory. But to simply come out and say now, I don't believe anything, so I'm going with an exploding microphone. It's not logical. It's actually
well.
Just
I know
not
this.
Even...
I know this, and I agree with you overall. This goes back to the Trump cover up with Cash Patel. That's why everybody's asking these questions. But isn't this emblematic of the fact that nobody trusts the system? And you can say who won. I think at the end of the day, you're right, and I'm both right. And I'm not splitting the baby here. I really, once I said she won the debate, once I saw what you said and others, I thought about it a lot today, and I thought really. Everybody is already in their camp, or 90% of people, where they either believe, you know, that it was a cover-up, and it wasn't the trans people, and it was Israel, or they believe the official story, and both sides just want us to cover whatever the orthodoxy is, and you and I are that weird 10% that really realize, clearly, we don't know the truth here and are trying to investigate, and all these other groups have already made up their mind. They just take whatever confirms their normalcy bias, and so that's why we're in this position of being attacked universally because we are the only people actually investigating. And I'm not like saying, aren't we great? But I watch your show. I know what I think. I don't know. This is usually I can figure stuff out. I have not figured this out yet. I'm trying to figure stuff out and then I'm the bad guy.
Well, you know, it's like they say when you walk in the middle of traffic, you get hit from both sides. And it's not a question of walking in the middle of traffic like fence sitting. I would entertain anything for which there's the slightest shred of evidence. But when you say, when someone says Israel did it, I'm like, okay, what's the slightest bit of positive evidence that you have other than a narrative that you can write into a John Grisham novel? Well, they say, well, I'm not on the inside. I would never have access to that stuff. And Israel's so good at it, they never leave any evidence. I'm like, congrats. That's an unfalsifiable premise that is based on the absence of
evidence. By the
way,
Israel's been caught a bunch of times in assassinations. So has Saudi Arabia. So have we. There's all, we criticize Israel. We have so much real stuff Israel's doing. I spent an hour before you came on going, look at this. Unprecedented terrorism. No, evil. But there's no logic there. Like, here I am exposing Israel, but then because I'm not 100% sure they did it, I work for Israel.
You know, and not like I don't make it my brand to criticize Israel, but I've been skeptical of how October 7 could have ever happened, let alone at the degree to which it happened. Skeptical and critical of the response, which 2 years, 3 years later is going to confirm all of the conspiracy theories that people had at the time of it being a lehop so that they can go and decimate Gaza and expand their borders. I've been wildly critical of the debacle of the Epstein rollout. I've been critical of Israel in terms of how they acted during COVID and basically testing the Pfizer shot on their entire population. But the second I say, what's your evidence for Israel being behind this? I become a Zionist shill. Oh, and the $7,000 shekel payment. I mean, that's another one. Anybody uses these terms, understand you are the new NPC. You've had the chip put in your, you know.
Meanwhile, the Israel lobby claims you're on Qatari money if you criticize them.
That it is true, and I'm sensitive to this as well, that you get the bots on both ends, and I have no doubt Buckley Carlson gets the, you're an anti-Semite bot. I mean, I get them also sometimes. Sorry, I didn't mean to shout. I get them also. I get a response saying, I'm an anti-Semite on Team Candace, and it's clearly a bot because they don't even understand the context of the discussion accusing me of being on Team Candace. So,
by the way, you're not being too loud. Give us a war growl. Viva Fry.
No, I can't do that. That'll be good. No.
Come on.
I can't do
it. Let me see your war face. That's not scary. Work on it. Let me see your war face. Show me.
I'll work on it, Alex. I'm not.
Neva, give me a war face.
I can't do it, Alex. It's not happening. But now all this is like, just bring it back.
Let me see your war face. Let me see it, Viva, now. Come on.
No, I can't do it. I can't. Plus, I don't know if I have food in my teeth. But Alex. Yeah,
come on. Humor me for once in your life. Go,
How loud is it going to get?
Now, you said you don't want to be loud. Please. That was good. Oh, God, I meant to do it again.
Okay, now, bring it back to the beginning. We're not going to convince 90% of the people. There is zero people watching that debate or who watched it who are on Andrew Wilson's side that could have conceivably been convinced by Candace Owens. I like to think maybe there is a 10% somewhere in the middle who understood that Candace, for all of her bluster over the last 10 months, did not substantiate her accusations. They might still think that there's not overwhelming evidence. I like to think there's 10% of the people who are going to at least now say, yeah. And as this pans out over time and as more stuff becomes debunked, you know, it goes down on the filing as Egyptian planes, UTC, trap doors, exploding mics, Panguitch receipts. One thing that I'm predicting
French
is going to go down.
French Foreign Legion. Don't forget them.
French Foreign Legion. Also, that image, the still image of the muscular guy who doesn't look like Tyler Robinson. I'm like, yeah, that doesn't look like Tyler Robinson. And I guarantee you that something was modified either in that picture or in the video from which that photo was drawn. But this is the thing. That picture doesn't look like Tyler Robinson. I want to make sure that photograph is authentic. When that photo or that still cannot be drawn from the surveillance video without, you know, requiring some modification, you got to come to the conclusion that either that photo was modified somewhere down the line or the original video was modified. And where does the Candace crowd go? The surveillance footage that was submitted to court was the one that was modified, because when do you ever see compact cars, you know, mushed up cars like that, not understanding the nature of surveillance videos and the correction that was done in order to extract that image to make the cars look proportionate, and not understanding what was likely done to that image in its enhancement, in its modification, to just make it look a little bit not like Tyler Robinson.
But meanwhile, so while we're all watching the Charlie Kirk, Candace Owens reality show, the data centers are going in, the wars are continuing. My issue is, what percentage of the time? So I think on the internet now, when it comes to waking up and exposing the globalists, half our time is spent on Charlie Kirk. And I think he's important. I think we should spend some time on it. Should it be 99% of the time spent, or is that kind of a cover-up? 100% of the time should be spent on this and nothing else.
Well, and I get accused of obsessing over this and fixating on it. First of all, I don't. I know what my respective focus is on my live shows, you know, daily at 3 and the Sunday show. Yeah, whether or not I spend a lot of time on this on X, only the requisite amount of time to deal with it and address the disinformation in real time and address the legalities in real time. I try to talk about this, people are going to laugh, as little as possible. I did a show on it yesterday because they had the debate. And by other than that, like, I try to stick to the other stuff, even if I don't find it quite as interesting, and even if I'm not so enmeshed in it. But you're right. I mean, this is, at least from the online community, the majority of the discussion. And it's almost like we've stopped talking about the war in Iran because it's been, you know, won and back on so many times.
I see people on X all over going, why are you covering up Charlie's murder, covering Iran? Well, because Iran can get us all killed. It's already killing the economy.
No, but first of all, you're going to get that no matter what you do. You're spending too much time on Charlie Kirk. You're not spending enough time on Charlie Kirk. I mean, it's the nature of the beast when you reach however many millions of people you reach, and however, you know, whatever reach I have, is people are going to say too much time, not enough time. Why didn't you say this? You said too much of this. And, you know, literally they'll have arguments with themselves and their own imaginings of what you're doing. But no, I try to keep up with what's going on in Canada, however uninteresting it is, because people are like, this is what we want to talk about right now. I'm not going to brand myself or my, you know, my analysis on this Charlie Kirk stuff the way others have literally made it their industry over the last year. But I'm not going to sit back.
What do you predict? Gut level, not a prediction, but how do you feel, to use her term, how do you feel this is going to end up for Candace Owens?
Not a question of feeling. The prediction is going to be, at some point, the chickens are going to come home to roost. People are going to understand it. Others are going to be too far down the manipulation rabbit hole to admit that they were, you know, manipulated. And they'll cloak it in, I was just trying to get at the truth, it's normal, yada, yada. The easiest person to lie to is yourself. I think there's going to be a number of people who are going to realize that maybe they got too far into it. I have a deep optimistic desire that Candace Owens is going to look back at this and say, yeah, I got a little too righteously involved, and what I did was not fair to the people involved. I mean, I would imagine, hope, at some point in time, going back and saying, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have accused Erica Kirk of child trafficking from an orphanage in Romania. I'm not sure if Candace made that specific allegation, but that was one of the...
Well, she definitely fanned it.
Well, I'd say maybe at some point she'll look back and say that 12-part miniseries, The Bride of Charlie, was not something I should have done to the woman that the man I say I cared about loved. Like, maybe I shouldn't have done that to my murdered best friend, terrorize his wife. Maybe I regret some of it. I think there's going to be a lot of that at the end of the day. But at the end of the day also, if it continues the way it's continuing now, I will proudly rest my hat on my track record in terms of asking questions and calling out the bullshit when it happens and being critical when it happens, versus having made a series of mistakes that might have been popular with my audience, but not good for my integrity and not good for my soul. So that's where I think it's going to go. The truth will come out sooner than later, and it's only going to be a question of whether or not people say she was deliberately lying, it was sort of she believed it, opportunistic, or, you know, whatever the alternatives are. One thing I don't support and never have, not with you, not with others, is using lawfare to criminalize speech. You know, and I don't know that she's there yet. I still think...
Well, let's raise it. I think you're going to Sandy Hook, so... You covered
No, I'm going to Macomb with Candace. Like, I've been defending Candace in the context of that defamation lawsuit because,
a lot of people aren't up on this. This is our final topic here, and I appreciate your time. Let's unpack that, because you early on looked at Sandy Hook, said I was being set up, clearly was, show trials, already found guilty, all the rest of it. And that makes me kind of prejudiced, not to trust the courts is what I went through there, but I've seen some courts, you know, aren't corrupt. We've had some courts rule in our favor. So, but I've witnessed it. But clearly they've tried to make the parallel, which you commented on, they took out of context. I saw the full context and I actually agree with you, that I was saying in general, once you've seen so many lies, then everything seems like a lie. It's like a group psychosis. I wasn't saying I had psychosis. You were quoting me, and then they said, you're saying I have psychosis. I get what you were saying. I think it was legitimate. What I'm getting at here is that they're saying, oh, we're going to get Candace like we got Alex Jones for what he did. Nobody peed on graves. Nobody harassed these people. None of what they said was true about me. And I'm not attacking her. I'm just saying comparing me to Candace with what she said, which I believe she has First Amendment right to do, is orders of magnitude more than what I ever did on record. I mean, Harrison Smith did the famous thing where he looked at from the time of Sandy Hook till the time that Hillary loses, there's no news articles about me and Sandy Hook in a Google search. Zero. Because I was never, wasn't my thing. I barely even talked about it. I covered a few times the internet not believing it. But then they latched onto me, latched onto Trump, made it this huge thing, raised all this money off of it. With Candace, there is a legitimate compendium of this. I don't want them to set an anti-free speech deal with her. But if they could get judges to rig trials against me, as I told her the last time she was on like a year ago, when they first filed suit under the Macrons, I said, you got serious issues if you think you're going to get justice out of the courts. But just them comparing what I supposedly did versus what she's done, how do those two things being compared come together in your mind?
Well, I mean, look, that was the argument as to why I'm out in left field suggesting that Candace has the slightest chance in her Brigitte Macron case, because you're going to get in front of an activist judge or an activist jury and, you know, they'll find you guilty whether or not you are, or at least liable in the case of defamation. When it's come to, like, some of the things that Candace has said, suggesting people are complicit in murder is, under the law, you know, some will say it's defamation per se. When you're accusing someone of murder or being an accessory to murder, these are defamatory statements that there's defamation laws. I don't think Candace should get sued for what she's doing. I still think it's wildly immoral and just ultimately factually incorrect and destructive. But what people are suggesting is that, you know, they're going to try to use lawfare to shut Candace up, incidentally, and that's going to be the evidence as to how true what she's saying is, which is also the other reason for which I, you know, even tactically, even if you think that she should get sued, you don't want it because you know exactly what's going to happen. They're going to use the fact that she's getting sued to say that's how right she is, and that's how you know that the others are involved. That being said, I don't know that anyone at TPUSA or Erica Kirk has threatened to sue her yet, certainly not to bankrupt her. But there are more than one lesson to learn from any one of these incidents. And Sandy Hook, my underlying theory all along is that it was co-opted or you know, weaponized to get you to say something stupid that they would ultimately then use as the basis to employ lawfare to bankrupt you and shut you up. That was always their goal. And it didn't matter how they get there, got there. That was one of the mechanisms through which they got there. Have some insiders plant some stupid idea that they get you to repeat, and they say, "Ha, we got him now. Now we can go after him." You know, when it comes to Candace, it wouldn't be hard to think that people want Candace to get out there and get people to believe insanity, so that it makes it harder to get to the truth. Or if someone is malicious and wants to find an excuse, plant a theory and get Candace to repeat it, so that she can get sued. But the bottom line is, she should not be sued into silence, nor is she being, for that matter. I think she's got a good argument in the Matt Collins case, but I'm told, you know, she's dead to rights. I don't think she is. I don't think anybody hears that and thinks that she's making statements of fact, but rather putting out her own theories and, you know, conspiracy theories. But it's not also fair to say you're trying to get her sued now to shut her up, so you guys should stop, you know, challenging her on what she says, because that just that emboldens them. But so the bottom line, I don't think Candace should get sued for what she's saying right now, though she is legally, you know, walking pretty close if she's...
Sure, what I'm saying is I don't like what I did compared to her. Do you agree? It is not attacking her, but I'm saying compared to what they claim I did, she's like light years further.
If one wanted to go down that, someone's going to say Viva's now saying she deserves it more than Alex did. You never deserved it, period. I don't like the idea of using it against Candace, but for what you said...
I just don't like what she's done. I'm not even saying she's bad. I'm saying what she's done is not what I did. So me being compared to that's not right. Here's a quick clip. We're going to end this here in a minute. But clearly this was a setup, because it was later admitted. Megyn Kelly, because they never had me saying what they wanted, came to interview me to get the statute of limitations opened up so they could sue me with the Sandy Hook. But still, I didn't do it. So Owen, reading a Zero Hedge article questioning a father when the police said they never saw the dead bodies, saying they saw the dead bodies, was how I was sued and how they opened up the suit and then found me guilty before I even had a trial. So clearly, I think this clip here is accurate. The pre-planned question to create a lawsuit. Here's a clip of him trying to get her to clearly state this, I think, to open it up. Here it is.
One thing, though, that I want to just directly ask you is, do you actually believe that anybody in TPUSA or Erica Kirk or Erica actually participated, had foreknowledge of, or facilitated the murder of Charlie Kirk?
I'm not going to get myself into a legal pickle here. Everything I've said is on my podcast. I think firmly that if I was the investigating officers, I would seat them all and I would ask questions. I would, at this phase.
So what do you make of that?
Well, I mean, first of all, the follow-up question from Andrew was, how do you know that they didn't do that? Because, you know, my understanding is they did talk to them, and it's not like they found text messages on Erica's phone trying to hire a hitman through Tyler Robinson to kill Charlie Kirk. She doesn't want to say it for fear of being sued, but it's already out there in her 10 months of coverage of this, and you've pulled some of the clips. She probably believes it and doesn't want to say it so clearly because it might lead to a lawsuit. But the very big distinction, Alex, is anybody who can assess things accurately would say what she has said and done on a comparative basis, not that it would justify the lawfare, is, you know, on a scale of multiple factors, worse than what you said, anything you said, especially the amount of time you dedicated to it, which I think was like 19 minutes over 7 or 8 years. Someone might want to say, why hasn't Candace been sued into oblivion to shut her up? And the easy answer is, what you were doing, Alex, was influencing people against the system. And what Candace is doing right now is creating internal fighting that the system loves. So why would you ever want to shut her up for what she's doing, sincerely or maliciously, when it's benefiting whatever system there is in terms of causing the infighting among the conservatives and the political chaos that that's causing? So the fact that they went after you was a sign of your effectiveness in a way that they found unpleasant. And the fact that nobody's gone after her yet, and I don't think they will, but who knows, except for Brigitte Macron, might be because, A, she's not as effective, or she is effective, but for means that they want to allow to keep going for the political destruction that it is bringing to the conservative side right now. But no, the reality, it's true. Some of the things that she has suggested are exponentially, obviously, even if they're comparatively equally as bad, so much worse in terms of frequency and duration, and you apologized and retracted all of it. You weren't allowed to mention that at the trial. And thus far, there has not been apologies, retractions, corrections, or any form of erratum coming from
Candace. Those were before they sued me because I figured it out. So I apologized for stuff I didn't do because the lawyers were like, do it. The law says do this. And it meant nothing. And I was trying to defuse it. I thought it was just demonized Trump saying I did all these horrible things. I didn't get it was part of a larger plan. All right. How do people find your show? Very interesting discussion, debate. Eva Fry.
Thank you for having me. Everybody understand, adults can disagree with each other without disagreeing with each other. There's a difference between saying someone is wrong versus someone is wrong. You'll understand it when you think about it afterwards. I'm on X, Viva Fry, Rumble, Daily 3 o'clock, Viva Fry, and vivabarneslaw.locals.com with Robert Barnes. We've got our awesome community there, and that's where you can find me. Put in Viva Fry, you'll find all of it. I got a hot sauce coming out, too, as well. It's on King of Biltong.
Well, I'm quite the snob on hot sauce, but I'm an expert on it, so we'll see. Candace did say...
I'm sending you some, Alex.
Candace did say one thing about, I can give you the facts, but I don't know if you're smart enough to understand them. I forget the exact quote, but I thought
it
was...
Yeah, so I can explain it to you, but I can't understand it for you. Ha-ha, we've all heard that cliche.
Yeah.
Let me explain something to you. If you haven't tied the receipt to Tyler Robinson, you have no business saying it's in your timeline and it's an evidence that Tyler Robinson couldn't have made it to Orem for the text message. That's not rocket science.
Well, wait, I don't think Candace is wrong. I want to see. She said the Egyptian plane debunking was debunked. I believe her. I want to see that proof she said 6 months ago. I mean, don't you want her to release the Egyptian plane proof?
I asked her if she even, you know, still believes that the Egyptian planes carry the key to the Charlie Kirk assassination. And it was like, did you watch the episode? Go watch the episode. It all makes sense. Yeah, we're like, in order for us to comment and hold her to account, we've got to watch every single one of the last episodes over the last year. And we get called the grifters in all of this. It's unfortunate. But at the end of the day, you know, vindication is worth more than compensation, as I say. And, you know, those of us who have been asking the righteous questions and calling out the bullshit on both ends will be vindicated sooner than later.
No, I mean, I agree with that. That's all I'm trying to do. All right, Viva Fry, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
All right, great job with the crew today. And I know we had some hiccups. It happens like once a year or twice a year with the streams. But don't worry if you miss any of it. We're going to take the first 45 minutes before the stuff messed up. We're going to put it on the rest of this that was live right now. We're still live right now at 3:04 Central. And we'll have that out for you on X and Rumble and at alexjoneslive.com so you can share it. But I've spent my time now on the Charlie Kirk thing. I don't see any restitution to it. I'm pretty smart, and I can't figure it out. I know there's a cover-up, and it's bad. And so much of what people are saying is the proof of what happened. You follow that. That's not true. The official story is not true. There is a cover up. And it's a black hole, folks. It's a very bad black hole, but we're like moths to flame. We'll give you what you want. Plus, I mean, I focus on it too, but I feel really guilty when I do because there's no restitution in this. I don't think anything, no one's ever going to agree. People are basically in their two camps. I'm still searching for what the truth is. And I'm trying to figure it out, but I think that Alex Stein had a really good point that he made about the real loser in all of this is Charlie Kirk. So we'll end with this, and then we'll run a few promos while they're going to have to grab the first 45 minutes, you know, that we have the recording when it was all choppy streaming, so we can sandwich that into the rest of this so we can restream it for any of you that want to see it and want to witness it. But I know this. Israel's openly trying to take over our Pentagon and our intelligence. They got catapults firebombing Lebanon. Trump said stop it 48 hours ago as they launched the biggest attack. They've cut the energy and the water off the Christians that are killing them. Even Huckabee says it's unprecedented terrorism. I don't have a hard-on for Israel, but I'm done doing that proviso. Israel is acting psychotic and evil, and it's wrong. And that's the first 45 minutes, really powerful information. I mean, this is crazy. So as soon as that restream grows and as soon as they got that together, as soon as that's posted X, get that because this is crazy. And even if you're like super pro-Israel, which I don't want to blow up Israel, I'm not against Israel. What Israel's doing is turning the world against it and is some type of sophisticated setup. So I want to close out with Alex Stein talking about who the real loser is in all this, and that's Charlie Kirk. And then I'll be back tomorrow night. 4 p.m. Central, right here at the Alex Jones Network, alexjoneslive.com. Great job, the crew. God bless you all.
True loser of this debate was Charlie. Charlie lost in this debate. Watching this debate, The only thing that I can deduce is that Andrew Wilson was not the winner, Candace Owens was not the winner, and the true loser of this debate was Charlie. Charlie lost in this debate because we lost an American hero, we lost a future president, and he knew that he was in the crosshairs, not metaphorically, but literally. And I just hope that we do get justice, and I hope that everything comes to light, and I want to have a positive outlook, like that's going to happen, but I've lost a lot of faith in the system, and I don't know if this debate really changes the narrative whatsoever. It's just people are going to believe whatever they believe before they watch it, and it probably just going to confirm their biases. So we lost an American hero. It makes me incredibly sad to think that Charlie basically predicted his death, and the only person that lost this debate was Charlie. Ooh, he's the glue that was keeping the Conservative Party together, and I don't think we'll ever be the same.
I want to be remembered for courage for my faith. That would be the most important thing. Most important thing is my faith in my life.
Nice shot and nice bags. Wow, where are my manners? My name is Alex Jones, and I, like you, can't stand goblins. The forest is crawling with them, and I want them all dead. Chill out, babe. Get a hold of yourself, Pumpkin Jugs. It's Soros we're after, the Dark Wizard. He's behind the goblin invasion.
And the blood of the fallen rise down that line.
We need to kill him in a huge way.
Okay, hell yeah.
All right, lady. Now that we're aligned, I'd like to introduce you to my velociraptor named Gary. He hates goblins even more than I do.
Hi, Gary. Good job. Hey, so where are we going?
We need extra muscle, and we'll be linking up with some key allies. You don't just take on a dark wizard without a posse. You aren't very educated, are you?
No, I can't even read.
I want to celebrate your honesty!
Salutations, friend. Wait, who's the busty piece of trash you brought with you?
I don't know her name, but she hates goblins and can't read. We'll need her to overthrow Soros.
Fly, Blackie, fly. Gather intel.
I was walking through the woods and saw Blackie soaring towards Spire Soros. What's happening?
A lot of negative things overall. We need your help, Dr. Tuck, and also need your grisly companion, Roger.
Yay, Roger.
For this quest, we'll need weapons, courage, faith, and friendship.
Force.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.